Hey. Oh, wait a minute. Listen. Just listen. You got more natural talent when you dance than anybody I've ever seen. Look, I've seen a lot of dancers. I studied in New York. Alvin Ailey. You burn when you dance.
You said I couldn't.
Oh, you gotta hold some of it in. You got some to learn dancing ain't f***ing.
What's that? More wisdom? I know that.
Well, it ain't right. You got too much talent for it to be right.
Get out of here! Yeah, okay.
Girls!
Right, up to the ceiling.
Yeah?
Right.
This is Nomi.
Hey.
Okay. Nikki, Julie, Dina, and you know Gay.
How you doing?
They'll run you through it once. You just watch, and then we'll blend you in. Okay, music!
Go!
Ladies.
How did she do?
She's no butterfly. Tony, she's all pelvic thrust. I mean, she prowls. She's got it.
I wonder how she got it.
Well, she certainly didn't learn it.
She learned it all right, but they don't teach it in any class.
From the 905 Geek Studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio, this is the Rick Emerson Show.
If you can't smile at a man screaming thrust it over and over again, then you are already dead inside. It's 3 minutes, and I'm just going to play that again randomly throughout the day. That's wonderful. Let me see if I can just... Wait, hold on. Come on, it's fantastic. That's the best thing you've ever heard. Admit it. All right. It's 3 minutes and 49 seconds after the hour of 11 in this, the month of July in the year of our Lord, 2007. Thank you for coming along and making it part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed, yet not overly ostentatious, studios of AM 970, Solid State Radio, my friends, and so forth. It's Friday, and welcome to day 12. Thank you for coming by. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You want to be part of today's program with your comments, your clarifications, your corrections, your 2 cents, your what have you. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Scotty J is standing by, ready, willing, and able to pass along your observations, the groundbreaking, the interesting, the tedious, the mundane, the whatever. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. Engage with us electronically. It is rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Sarah at 970.am. Tim at 970.am. Or Scotty J at 970.am. And again, if you'd like to phone in today, it is 503-733-2970. Let me just take this observation, this moment to make this observation about Karen Allen, which is the Karen Allen from Raiders of the Lost Ark and Animal House, who I guess is going to be in the new Indiana Jones film. Looks fantastic. There's a picture of her. I guess it's from IndianaJones.com, but I saw it at Aaron's site, at geekinthecity.com. He didn't send the picture along to us. Just we were all desperate to see it this morning, but he included a link in this email he sent us. So we went to his site and checked it out. There's a picture of Karen Allen in her, like, Indiana Jones-like garb in her getup. And she looks fantastic, by the way. I don't know to what extent she's had any work done, or that's like an airbrushing thing, or some sort of soft filter lensing that they're doing to her. But she does look great. So I would encourage you to go to geekinthecity.com and check out the picture of Karen Allen. All right. Let's see. What am I doing? Well, let me just read a few of these things. Then we'll do introductions, guaranteeing, and so forth. Let me just say this before we begin anything else. I didn't go with the Nomi Malone, Crystal Connors dog food speech. It was tempting. I didn't go with the speech at the end where Nomi comes into the hospital room and what's her name is Crystal Connors is sitting there in bed, and then they have the big makeout session, and then Nomi puts on a cowboy hat and she goes along, and then the Elvis guy picks her up and they drive by a billboard. And by the way, if you watch the end of Showgirls, if you see that at the end when they drive by that billboard, and this is Nomi Malone, is Goddess. Goddess was intended to be the sequel. There was going to be a showgirl sequel. They were so convinced. I mean, the movie is genius, but not really in a way that anybody ever intended. The movie is genius if you think that Phyllis Diller is fantastic. So if you drive, if you see that billboard that they drive by, they were so convinced that Showgirls was going to be something, the box office sensation, some blockbuster, that they were already, Verhoeven and Esterhaas were already scripting out and putting together an overview for a sequel, which is just going to be called Goddess, which is why the final shot is of that billboard. There you go. That's all the Showgirls information you need to know to impress your friends the next time you go to, like, some trivia night or whatnot. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Coming up later on in today's program, CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard will join us today. We'll talk to Ed McCarthy about, I guess, we touched on this yesterday, about a bunch of NASA guys who, I guess, are getting rid of excess, like, things they don't want by just throwing them out the window in space, which I didn't really think you could do. I thought if you did that, I was going to crash back into your spaceship, or it was going to catch fire or something. But apparently they're getting rid of things by just kicking them out the door in space. Now, apparently, and I guess we mentioned this yesterday, but Ed has some more detail on it. Apparently all the astronauts, they're not only sabotaging equipment, they're not only throwing things out the window into space, but I guess in space no one can hear you vomit because apparently they're all flying drunk, too. So we have that. We have a review of the Simpsons film. Aaron Geek in the City, Duran, is going to be in the studio with us later on. He'll have a review of the Simpsons movie. Scotty J is assembling your top five weekend songs, which we will do later on in the program. Top five weekend songs. Help me, I'm being chased by Lindsay Lohan. And do I have anything else? Is there anything else that's worth teasing? Oh, and let me just... I got this great piece sent to me by about nine different people. And anytime something was sent to me by more than five or six people, like if I check my email and there's something, like 10, 12, 15 people have sent it to me, I know it's genius. I know it's gold. It is, in fact, the worst interview ever conducted by anybody of anybody else. Have you seen the thing I'm talking about, Tim?
No, I have not.
Oh, it's gold. It's genius. I mean, if you just listen to it, it's genius. But if you're able to watch it, and I'm trying to get it posted, the blogger seems to be going a little sketchy at the moment. I'm trying to get it posted. If you're able to actually watch the video that goes along with this interview we're going to play later, I mean, it goes from being gold to just being sort of ruby-studded platinum. It's fantastic. So that's what's coming up today. Lisa Goddard, Ed McCarthy, Aaron Geek in the City, Duran. Top five weekend songs. The worst interview you've ever heard. We get a review of the Simpsons film. And it is High Concept Friday. So at some point, we will be rolling out a high concept topic for your phone calling amusement. What do you mean? Well, is that you talk about the graining thing in the front of today's paper? I know. No, don't get me started. No, I can't.
That movie's only 78 minutes.
Well, that's 78 minutes with credits, by the way.
Yeah.
The movie itself is like 74, 72, something like that.
So they can crank out a 22-minute episode in less than a half a week.
Well, I mean, I don't understand what...
slaves over at Asia.
I mean, I don't think they're actually slaves in Asia. So much of guys, like, manacled to a drawing board. Mm-hmm. Some guy manacled to an easel. I'm picturing one of those, what is in like those slave galleons? You know, which where they got like, hee, hoo, you know, there's like 900 guys rowing at once.
The animation gulag.
Like, it's like 50 with a picture of Michael Eisner on the wall, with huge red glowing eyes looking down. A picture of James L. Brooks and a guy wandering up between the aisles with a cat of nine tails. Faster! You know, everybody drawing one of Bart's four-fingered hands.
Stop action makes you free.
Wonderful. All right. Let's see. Well, what am I doing here? I don't even know. No, I don't remember what I was talking about now. Well, I guess it's unimportant. It's 503-733-2970. It's not that I'm having a bad day or a bad start to the show, but I did this experiment today where I blended two different flavors of Viso together. Because I had half a bottle of Vigor and I had half a bottle of Will. And so chasing my normal two cups of coffee, I then had half a bottle of Vigor and half a Will, and I blended them together and then froze it, thawed it, and then consumed it. And I think it's slowly doing something terrible to my insides. I'm not entirely sure about that. Let me ask you this. If the Simpsons movie is only 74 minutes long, exactly why is it that we had to wait 13 years to get one? You know what I mean? It just doesn't make any sense. It's not like the South Park movie where it's some gigantic, huge musical production and a whole separate score had to be done and whatever. I mean, the South Park movie took so long because there's only one guy doing everything. I mean, Trey Parker, it's just Trey Parker and his minions sitting around and he's cranking out the entire thing at home and like in his Culver City apartment. I have no idea why we had to wait this long for a 74-minute Simpsons movie, which, and I don't mean to be a negative Nancy about it. But a Simpsons movie, which apparently isn't all that good. I mean, every single one of the reviews has said that it's, you know, that it's sort of okay. I mean, Scott Daly, he sent me a text last night. And he said, hey, do you want to hit the Simpsons sneak preview? And I said, maybe. And, I texted my wife, and she wasn't able to do it. And then, I didn't want to leave her at home and go off to the Simpsons thing and whatever. So we ended up not doing it. And then what seemed like just a few minutes later, and apparently it was just a few minutes later because the movie's only 74 minutes long, I got this text from Scott. He said, you didn't miss anything. Don't worry about it. Talk to you later. So, somebody, I don't know if we can say his name, but somebody we know knows one of the animators on that movie. And the animator was desperately trying to get his name taken off of it because he was so embarrassed by it. I'm not trying to be negative. I'm sure it's a fine film. I'm sure it's a great waste of your $12 or whatever the hell it's going to cost you to go see it. It's just, I'm not anti-Simpsons. I just, I don't know. I feel like we're about 5 years past when they should have been doing a Simpsons movie. You know what I mean? It just seems like a thing that, it's a whole concept that's very sort of 1999. I mean, I'll see it at some point, but I mean, I just don't care all that much. I think I've come to a place in my life where I sort of take The Simpsons for granted. You know what I mean? I'm fully aware of that
it's
fact.
It's like running water.
Well, it's not exactly. It's like indoor plumbing. That's exactly what The Simpsons are. Because it is not appointment viewing for me because they're always on. I mean, you can't turn on the television without seeing The Simpsons on one of three channels. The Simpsons and King of the Hill. I would actually be a little bit more excited about a King of the Hill movie. We'll get these calls here in just a moment. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented and always perky and delightful, Sarah Dillon.
Am I not perky and delightful today?
No, you're absolutely perky and delightful. You're not really that perky. You don't really seem all that delightful either. How are you?
I'm fine.
Are you?
Well, now I'm not going to be nice to you.
You have to be nice to me.
Why?
Because I'm nice to you.
You're like a crazy man on crack all the time, and then I'm supposed to always be all upbeat.
Okay.
I was just reading rumors that there's a Labyrinth 2 coming out.
Move on to Tim Riley. Somebody doesn't want to talk today.
No, Aaron just sent me a thing saying that there might be a Labyrinth 2.
A Labyrinth 2? Yes, yes.
Oh, that'd be so exciting.
Will David Bowie be reprising his role as the Goblin King?
I do not know. But I'm very excited if he does.
Is this because I threw something at you yesterday?
Yeah, you kind of freaked me out.
Holding a grudge against me because I threw my pen in your
general
direction.
Yeah, but you didn't just throw it at me. Like, nobody could see exactly how hard or how, like, angry you were when you threw it at me.
I wasn't throwing the wound.
It was kind of scary. I mean, those pens that you have are big and pointy, and you, like, put your all into it.
My pen wasn't set to stun. All right. Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification today.
I can't get in any trouble. I'm a celebrity. I can do whatever the F I want, Lindsay Lohan tells partygoers. One of them says, Lohan ran over my foot with an SUV. Also, two are arrested for offering prostitution Milwaukee on Craigslist. A mustard gas leak has been contained at the Hermiston Depot. Not a thing to worry about.
No, because it's Hermiston.
Nicole Richie gets 4 days in the pokey. Astronauts are allowed to fly drunk. Matt Groening secretly believes the Simpsons probably might live in Springfield, Oregon. Or possibly Beaverton, but won't say for sure as we get sucked into this machine. Michael Moore and the Saudis are both on the president's, well, unlike list. Michael Moore for traveling to Cuba and the Saudis were allegedly aiding terrorists
fantastic.
In Iraq.
It's a wonderful day.
Oh, and lottery winners will use their winnings to buy new knees.
Excellent. That's fantastic. Wonderful. Just as a side note to something you were talking about there. What was the third story you read? What was the third? He's already thrown it away. It's already in the trash.
That would have been...
it's Nicole Richie.
Yeah.
I thought she got four... I thought she got longer than that. I think it was like a week and a half that she got in the hooscow in the jail. Well, I guess we'll find out.
That's such BS, too, because
four
she
days.
Said...
Well, you can't get 4 days
four
for drunk
she
driving.
She had two DUIs, and she was driving the wrong way down a highway. And Paris Hilton, you know, as much as I dislike her, she only had one DUI, and she got sentenced to 45 days for suspended license.
The
and
wrong
only one...
way?
She was driving the wrong way down a California highway.
That's it's doing a Fraley is what that's doing. I don't understand how. I mean, you have to be really drunk, especially in any. Where was it, in Los Angeles, you said?
Yeah.
I mean, in Los Angeles, you really have to be incredibly inebriated to go to the wrong way down a street. It's not like you're going the wrong way down, like, Ankeny Boulevard at 4 in the morning. I mean, in Los Angeles, there's gridlock at 2:15 a.m. I mean, those roads are never empty. I don't understand exactly how drunk you would have to be to understand that you're going down the wrong way in a road in Los Angeles. It just makes no sense at all. Well, all right. Okay, so we'll have that later on. Well, I'll kind of skip this high concept stuff that I had here at the beginning. We'll shove that towards later in the program. I will say this. If you go to rickemerson.com, as you should every day without fail, if you go to rickemerson.com, there are, let's see, 1, 2, 3. I think we've narrowed it down to 4 finalists for the Draw Tim Riley with Cornrows contest.
Let me Those are hilarious.
They're great. Did you see the ones I got this morning?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, the ones that are on your website?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw those.
That's genius. There's four. Yesterday, Tim announced that he had a dream in which Sarah had dyed his hair red and blue and given him cornrows. And so we were offering an AM 970 t-shirt to the first person. I think it was to the person who created the best Tim Riley cornrow Photoshop. But we haven't yet decided. I know which one I'm leaning toward.
I know. Yeah, I know which one I am, too.
And it's just gold. I'm looking at it. Now, Tim,
Have you seen these, Tim?
This one on the screen.
At it right there.
Did you say that this one most closely resembled what you looked like in the dream?
Yep, that is the dream come to life. That is exactly what it looks like.
Where you sort of look like the Predator.
Yeah.
You sort of look at, like, what the hell are you? You kind of look like you ought to be chasing Arnold Schwarzenegger and Jesse Ventura through a swamp. That's fantastic.
And then I woke up and I just shook my head awake. How can I go to work with
I can't feed my family with a cod piece, and I can't go to work in cornrows. So go to rickemerson.com, check out the photographs of Tim Riley sporting
well done.
Cornrows. No, they're all great.
That one, the
anyone
one
who spends the time to do this.
Yeah, there's one that looks so realistic.
Oh, it's fantastic. So I would encourage you to go to the website right now and check those out. Well, let's do these calls. The other reason I got all this weird, jittery energy today is because I went to bed at 9 o'clock last night, which I don't ever do. I normally go to bed, I don't know, between midnight and 1, typically, just because I'm kind of a nighttime guy and my body clock is such that I can't really go to bed at a proper hour. But I was just exhausted last night, and Laura and I went for Italian food, and I had somewhere in the neighborhood of 90,000 calories. And then I just, and it was that food that was so good that you reach the point of being full, and but you just want to continue eating it because of the taste. And so my bodies are sort of sending up these messages to my brain, like, we're really full down here. No, I don't think I can. No, please. Look, really, we're at maximum density in the stomach. If you could avoid sending any more food down. But meanwhile, it just tastes so fantastic that I'm continuing to shovel, like, forkful after forkful into my big, fat American face. So then I went home, and it was like a hibernating bear. So I went to sleep at like 9:15 last night, and I woke up at 7 in the morning. So I got a cozy 10 hours of sleep, which is like way more than I normally do. So I got a whole weird excess vitality thing going on today. Let's just roll through these calls, and then if we have time before the bottom of the hour, which we probably won't, we'll play this worst interview ever conducted, which makes even the most tedious and pedantic of my interviews just seem like the Charlie Rose Show. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
If the astronauts throw garbage out the window of the space station in Atlanta, Oregon, is that a $500 fine?
This is the worst call we've ever begun a show with.
Will you please play more of Hillary Clinton longing for a new direction?
What I need you to do now is hang up.
Thank you.
Bye now. Yeah, thanks. There you go. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson. That's the worst beginning to a program ever. Thank you, sir.
You can only be up from here.
Yes. Okay, yeah, the bar is set really low for you. You don't even have to lift up your feet to vault over that. So go ahead.
Outstanding. Well, you know, something I realized the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on where you cut it off, The Simpsons had about 10 good years, give or take a little bit, which means they're on 18 right now. They have been bad.
That's
for
not
true.
The Simpsons haven't
been
on for. No, hold on. The Simpsons haven't been on for 18 years.
Yeah, they're in their 18th season right now. I think they just ended it earlier this.
I remember watching it in sixth grade, and that would be 91.
Is that the 18th season though, or the 18th year? Like, is that the 18th calendar year?
18th or 17th?
So there's 18 calendar years, The Simpsons. I'm not disagreeing. It just doesn't, my brain just sort of rejects that.
18 calendar. I know that they started out on the Tracy Ullman in like 88.
Because seasons are weird. Like Survivor does three seasons in one calendar year or something insane like that.
But they've stuck to the more traditional model. I remember, I think it came on when I was in about second grade, which would have been about 10.
God damn, I'm old.
So they've been on for at least 14 years.
I know that it is now the longest running sitcom. I know that it was Cheers.
It premiered January 14th, 1990.
Oh, come on. 17 years. Jesus. Do you realize that there are young people out there listening to my voice right now who have never known a world without The Simpsons?
There are young people right now who have never known a Simpsons that was good.
That's true. They've never known. I really am the wrong person to sort of weigh in on when The Simpsons. It's not that it's ever become bad. It's just sort of, you know, it just sort of had lost its punch over the years. It's still better than most of the other things on television. But, I mean, it's the problem with a show like The Simpsons is that the longer it runs, the ratio starts to tip. You know what I mean? So you get a show like The West Wing that runs 7 years, five of them good, or a show like Buffy that runs 7 years, four of them good. And then you start to get something like The Simpsons or Cheers, where it's like, you know, 19 years, six of them good. And you start to get this sort of 30% proportion going on that's no good.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Yep.
All right. Bye now. Let's see. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show about the Scotty Sounder.
Yeah, North Clackamas, booyahs to you, Kramer. Oh, sorry, wrong show. Actually, I've been listening to the Scotty Sounder, and I've been enjoying it. You know how much I've enjoyed your show over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Man, but there just seems to be one thing missing right at the very end, just after the crickets start. What that needs is a Scotty J. Goddamn.
Well, perhaps. It's entirely possible. I've got the Scotty Sounders. I've got those set aside now, and they have been isolated. Enough. Let's see. Right there. So we'll find something. We're going to find a use for that at some point, sir.
Okay. How about you play that like five times every half hour today? Just make him run in there for the stupidest stuff. That would be really cool.
Really hungover today, right?
You mean the goddamn or the
No, just the sounder, man. Just make him jump and run all day long.
I wish I knew how to
cook. He's seriously hungover, though.
Please, really?
Hit me on the mouth. Please let me.
John and John.
Good morning, Metolia.
Oh, he's wearing his hangover shirt.
He sure is. It's Dr. Pepper.
He's wearing his Dr. Pepper shirt today. That's how you know that he stumbled out of bed.
What was the other one that he wears? Dr. Pepper?
The Tom Petty shirt.
Tom Petty.
The Tom Petty shirt because it's brown. It doesn't show stains or wrinkles.
He looked like he was hating life in the kitchen.
Hi, Scotty. To what extent are you hating life?
Good morning, Hermiston.
Boy, you are talking so slowly, and you are trying with all of your might not to slur.
And the 19,728-acre Umatilla chemical depot.
Please tell me that was intentional.
They're going to make it a residential area.
They're going to make what a residential area?
The Umatilla chemical depot.
Oh, I see.
Okay, he's trying to be funny.
I understand. You're accenting the pot part to be ironic because you really know how to pronounce it. Don't do those things.
Scotty's wit astounds me.
It's sort of an inverse wit. Here's what I want you to do. Were you a Seinfeld watcher?
Yeah. But
remember that episode where George realized that he had to do the opposite of whatever his instinct told him to do?
Yes,
I want you to emulate that example.
Yeah, I love that episode.
Please. If your instincts tell you that something is amusing, don't do it. Just keep those thoughts inside and, I don't know, tell them to a part-timer in the kitchen or something.
I do amuse somebody. Myself.
All right. Okay. So, how goes the Scott Baio quest?
Still waiting for the gal to come back from vacation.
Here's the thing.
Don't know her name. I think it's Lisa.
No, here's what it is. Lisa's not going to call you back today or ever. And if Lisa does call you back...
What?
Lisa's not going to return your call.
Don't burst this bubble, Rick.
And if someone does... I really should string you along, but if Lisa does call you back at some point... The person you're going to talk to, if her name really is Lisa, is someone who can't book the interview with at all. Lisa is probably like a cleaning woman who works there that they've just pawned you off on. Because right now,
if Scott knows his people aren't working to put him in an Oscar winning film at the moment.
Because let me tell you right now, that Scott Baio 45 and single program is on right now.
That's what I told him.
Yes.
I said, we want to talk to Scott Baio before the show gets stale.
I'm sure that there are... Really, before the show gets stale, did you really say that?
I did.
Show begins a tedious slide into mediocrity, VH1.
And they clip the entire series together for one episode.
God, it's really hard to believe that you're not like job one for them in terms of call return. So the person that's going to call you back is not a guest booker, probably doesn't even work there. It's probably going to be a homeless person to whom they've given a phone to deal with people like yourself. Because the show right now is in new episodes. So really, if they were concerned about getting back to you, well, they would have done it today. Because whoever you left a message for has an assistant, has somebody who fills in for them, has somebody who screens their calls, has somebody who checks their email. The fact that they have not called you back just means that they don't care, Scotty.
Well, I told her I was calling from CBS Radio Portland, Oregon.
I think that your voice probably betrayed something. They probably saw through your shallow ruse.
My knee was shaking as I talked to him.
All right, we got a break. How did your smoking go this weekend?
He went out last night.
I believe that he smoked a cigarette.
Nah. Did you drink last night?
I did.
He drank heavily.
How much did you drink?
Oh, I don't know, about 5 or 6 Johnny Walkers. It was not vanilla ice drunk.
Well, really nothing is.
I wasn't looking at anybody's ice.
But you did not smoke last
night. No.
Are you wearing the patch today?
Yes.
Did you wear it
last night? Yes.
Did she smoke last night?
Yeah, but she went outside.
All right. Okay, we have only your word to go on. We'll bring it up again with you later.
Okay.
All right, we got a break here in about 5 minutes. Come back with Lisa Goddard later on, Ed McCarthy, Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth later on, the Top 5, and Aaron Geek in the City to Ram with a review of the Simpsons film. Stay right there. I hadn't really thought about that.
That just occurred to me.
Emails from people offering to skulk around after Scotty J in public and make sure that he doesn't smoke. Well, it may come out at some point if we feel he's deceiving us.
I kind of feel like he is. I think that he smokes at some point.
I don't, you know, my wife, and I will put this on her because it's her idea. My wife is just insisting that we start urine testing him, and I feel like that maybe is one step too far. I think might be a little too...
Can we do that?
Well, we can do whatever we want. It's not a democracy. It's a radio program. I can do anything I like. Because that's not an attitude that ever gets you into trouble. I am impervious!
I'm a celebrity!
Kneel before me!
Did you hear that the story that Tim was talking about? Referencing the I'm the celebrity thing?
No, what?
Oh, it's going to be great. No, he teased it earlier.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think my brain was totally in the game the first 10 minutes I was on the air today. Jesus, it's 11:35 already. Tim is doing his whole intro, and I was trying to speak, and the words were coming out all mismangled. I really do believe it's like, and we'll get to Lisa Goddard here in just 1 second. It's like mixing your alcohols. You know, you mix your liquors, and it's, you know, you do like that. Have I told this story before? I know I did a long time ago. The night before, my wife took her. It's not a board, but it's a. Whatever it is to get your nursing license. It's like when you pass the bar or something. The night before the test to get her nursing license, my wife is over studying with her friends, and they're doing the last night cramming for the nursing license test, and then she decides to unwind with a bunch of red wine and tequila. And not like mixed together, clearly, but like a shot of one, a glass of the other. A shot of one, a glass of the other. And red wine and tequila, as she found out, turns out that's the kryptonite combination for her. And I mean, it really is astounding that she was even able to make it to the test the next day, much less pass it. I mean, the fact that she was able to sit upright and hold a pencil without just spewing all over everybody in front of her. But that's like me at the top of the day's program when I started mixing those visos together. I feel like it really is doing something terrible to my intestines right now. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. What the hell? CNN radio correspondent to the stars, Lisa Goddard. Why, hello, Lisa. How are you today?
Hello to both of you.
How's your Friday? How are things?
It's going well. You know, and I'm going to make a comment here that may get me into trouble, as per the norm, perhaps. But, you know, listening to the commercials just now as I was on hold, I really feel like there's too much pressure on comedy radio hosts, should I say, to come up with a hilarious bit that can be promoted in 20 seconds. Like, they ran these kind of Don and Mike bits, and it's just not the same. Like, that wouldn't make me really want to watch or listen to the show.
Now, would you like to know where those Don and Mike promos come from?
I don't know. I'm nervous now. Where?
No, I'm just going to say, look, there are all kinds of things on this radio station that, that I will happily blame Scotty for. And all kinds of, probably 98% of the things you hear on this station, I'll blame Scotty, even if he's not directly responsible for them, or in fact, indirectly responsible for them. I'm happy to heap scorn upon his narrow shoulders. The Don and Mike promos come directly to us from Westwood One.
That's what because we get the same ones here in Washington, oh, yeah. And they're always kind of like, like, it's just not nearly as, I mean, the show is a great show, and the promos are kind of like,
It's not that, I mean, Corey, and I'm a huge Don and Mike fan, it's just that Don and Mike is not a setup punchline kind of show.
Exactly.
It's just not. It's not like a kooky morning show.
See, and now I feel this pressure right now to come up with some hilarious little funny little jab they could end a promo with.
Well,
I've got nothing.
I have to tell you that it is one of my failings. One of the reasons that I have not succeeded to a greater degree in talk radio is that I have never mastered the ability to speak in sound bites. I just never have. And I don't. I mean, I'm not saying I'm entirely without entertainment value. I like to think that I can be amusing every now and again with some sort of a merry jape or two, but I don't. I'm not a guy. You know, I'm not. I just don't have that sort of weird Henny Youngman meets Scott Shannon kind of ability to just sit behind the mouth.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yes.
And it has to be, you know, you have to be able to boil your show down into a 44-second segment so you can do an intro and an outro, and so it's 60 seconds long. And I don't do that. And Don and Mike don't do it either because it's a very sort of free form, I don't want to say improvisational, but a very it's just a sort of organic kind of comedy that they do.
It's a hangout, right?
Yeah.
Anyway,
no, I'm with you on that. So as much as I would like to blame Scotty for those promos, he actually just assembles them. They come to us that way from the network.
From fabulous Westwood One,
I'm picking up on your sarcasm.
No, you know, again, getting myself into trouble.
No. Westwood One's a fine network. They provide us with...
Exactly. They're the ones that put my stuff over the airwaves.
Yes. Perhaps they ought to switch interns. That's all I'm saying.
Man, that's really all it comes to. It's true.
All right.
So what are we talking about?
I really don't even know because this is... I don't know if we're still at the intersection of Constitution and Crisis today with Alberto Gonzalez or...
I'm going to steal that. That's great.
Oh, hey, see, there you go. When I'm not trying to do it, I come up with a punchline. See, that's why I can never write for The Daily Show, because The Daily Show or The Onion, they are masters of the hilarious headline, which is just not a thing I can do. It really, what I do is I sit here and I babble like a moron for 4 hours, and within that 4 hours, you will probably, over the course of that 240 minutes, be able to isolate three or four sentences that are moderately amusing. I like to think that it is the overall vibe, the overall aegis of the program that people find to be compelling. I just don't... I'm just not a joke machine. I've never been able to do that, which is why I failed so abysmally as a morning show host. I used to do a kooky morning show.
That's something to be proud of, frankly.
No, I mean, well, and it's like...
No offense to the morning show hosts that are listening.
No, they're morons. No, they're...
It's rough. And I feel like it changed them. I feel like it's like Congress. You know, if Congress, you know, takes good people and makes them all kind of wacky, power, corrupt, crazy, morning shows do a whole other thing to generally good radio people.
No, dude, and I will say this, with a weird kind of respect, that morning show hosts are typically not all that smart, but they are sort of idiot savants. They're really not that talented. In truth be known, most morning show hosts, just like most people, are really not that funny as such.
Right.
But they do have that weird rarefied ability just to throw out, you know, the barb every now and again, which is just something I don't. I just don't have that. So all right. Well, whatever.
People, personally, I'm sitting in a comedy vacuum right here. That's all I can say, Rick. You are hilarity to me in my comedy. I mean, I'll crack jokes to people up here, and they just kind of look at me.
Sitting in a comedy vacuum.
That's
fantastic. I'm going to introduce you with that phrase from now on. All right. Well, in any event.
Where to start?
So they're going to appoint this special counsel, right, to investigate Alberto Gonzalez and
whether...
You don't
know that they're going to go through with that unless that's broken in the last couple of hours and I didn't know it.
Well, I know they've been talking about it.
They're asking essentially someone at the Justice Department to appoint a special prosecutor from outside the Justice Department, and we're still waiting to get the response on that, on exactly how justice plans to handle that. That could take a little bit of time. We're not clear, but that's right. It's still a whole bunch of hubbub about this and a lot of pressure on Gonzalez. Frankly, every Friday for maybe the next three Fridays, I'm going to be pretty nervous, because when a major cabinet official resigns like this, there's a good chance it'll happen on a Friday when there's no news cycle, when it's, you know, when it's all the way till Monday until the media can get on it. And then, of course, next week Congress is here, but they're gone the week after that. So that would also be a good time for someone to resign when nobody can step up in front of a microphone here in Washington. So I am officially on Gonzalez resignation watch. But that said, I still think it's 50-50. I mean, the Bush administration, they could dig their heels in. They're loyal. I don't know. They got rid of Rumsfeld. It could go either way at this point, but I am on resignation watch.
And so, but they do this deliberately to sort of miss, you know, the news cycle. They try to get it right in there on the, you know, the Friday at like 4:58 when they
right,
know it's just going to be
after the national news can't possibly really deal with it.
How do you rate, just as a journalist, and this is just because I am. It's not that I'm, you know, going to paint myself as a student of history, but I do. I'm sort of interested in the past.
You dabble.
I dabble. I'm basically just without a life, and so, you know, I'll go back and you look at somebody like the Nixon administration, where they had Ron Ziegler, who was up there sort of orchestrating and manipulating and maneuvering.
Well, now you're throwing out names, but that's right.
I'm just saying, how do you rate the Bush administration in terms of the way that they manage and spin what happens within their doors? I mean, with something like this timing of the news cycle.
I think they are masters of spin, and I think they are masters of different forms of media manipulation. And that's not to say it's just obviously. I think the Clintons were also exceedingly good at it.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah.
I think that I'm not sure if I could say one is better than the other, but I think the Bush administration did a great job. And this is everybody always talks about this, but did a great job at making CNN and many mainstream media outlets, including NPR, especially the more liberal outfits, feel like, hey, you guys have this liberal bias. You're so biased against us. You've got to be more balanced. And so a lot of those organizations, you know, swung way the other way at the beginning of the war, and everyone admit that they were too hands off.
Let's blame Westwood One for that.
Okay.
Hey, before we go today, Scotty wants me to play something very brief for you, and then we will let you skedaddle and get on with your day. Scotty, is this the right? Okay, let me just see if I can play this here.
All righty. You've got to rearrange who you are and what it's going to be.
Scotty, that's not at all what I was thinking it was going to be. This is completely mislabeled. I thought you had obtained for me the actual Brady Bunch Time for Changing song. Scotty's let me down once again. All right.
Hi.
Well, there you go. Let's blame Westwood One for that, too. All right. Fantastic.
Down. Yeah, well, I don't want to say down with Westwood One, but yeah.
We'll take that out in post. All right. Lisa Goddard, enjoy the rest of your day and your weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
Everybody.
Thank you, Lisa. There you go. Fantastic. Yeah, it says, listen, what would you think this means? It says here on the screen, says in folder for Lisa, Brady Bunch song. I mean, of course you think it's the actual Brady Bunch recording. Way to make me choke, Scotty. Thanks so much.
He made you look kind of silly.
You know, Scotty, a man is only as good as the people around him. Yeah, I understand it was Lisa singing. Yeah, I do. Thanks so much. Now he's typing on the screen. He's defending it via text on the screen here. All right. From Atlanta, ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. The one and only Smell-O-Move. That's fantastic. Smell-O-Move sounds like some sort of a cream de menthe kind of drink that a guy would be serving like in some sort of club down south while jazz music plays softly in the background. Ed McCarthy, both mellow and smooth, and at the Atlanta News. Hello, sir. How are you?
Good. Probably eating Ben and Jerry's ice cream.
I got a whole thing going on with talking today. I don't know what it is.
I have that every day, so good, don't worry about
good,
it.
It's good that I don't have a
on, my friend.
It's good that I don't have a job where I have to do that for the next 3 hours and 15 minutes, because that would work out badly for me.
Yeah, we haven't done that in years, used our voice or talk for a while.
Speaking of drunkenness, so what is the? So we touched on this a little bit yesterday here, but so what is it, at least twice now they've got these astronauts who were, I'm reading this now directly from the page, astronauts who were allowed to fly despite warnings that I'm quoting now, that they were so drunk they were a risk to the flight.
Yeah, so amazing, isn't it?
I mean, I don't understand exactly how that happens. Is it just because it costs so much money to scrub a flight that they figure just let the guys go ahead because it costs too much to reschedule it?
That's a very good question, you know that? I don't know. I'm just wondering if they say, gee, you know, what if a few tiles fall off this thing? Maybe I better throw a few belts down before I go up.
Is that the whole? They're just looking up at the spaceship like, there's like a 1 in 10 chance this thing's going to explode. Maybe I'll have a belt of scotch before I get on the.
No, this thing's going to get hit by foam. What do you think? What do you think? Make mine a doers.
There's one for the road. I mean, we talked to Dick Giuliano about this sometimes. Maybe it's just that the NASA guys, I mean, are just staring down the barrel of 2010, I guess, which is when this all kind of comes to a close. The shuttle missions and all of this, I mean, in the 3 years, it's going to be gone. So maybe they just figure at this point, like, what the hell? Like, you know, they're short time at it anyway. So,
yeah, you know, and then they're going to go to the moon and Mars. They want to go up there. So, you know, there won't be any liquor stores up there, probably.
They're loading up. They're going to just pre-funk before the flight. Yeah. All right.
It's pretty interesting, though. I tell you, they come out now with this rule, which I'm sure they already had, you know, that you can't drink 12 hours before a flight. Well, you know, any commercial pilot, that's what the rules they're under. You know, any of our domestic airline pilots, they have to make sure that they space their time and having a beer or two wisely.
Let me ask you this, and just to whatever extent you can answer this question, what effect does zero gravity have on alcohol in your system and whether you're drunk and if in fact you actually were to consume alcohol in space? Would you get drunker in zero gravity, or does it even have any effect? Do you know?
I don't know. I really don't know. I did zero G once in an airplane.
Really?
Years and years ago.
Oh, is that that roller coaster? What do they call that airplane?
No, this was a guy that I used to go up with, you know, and after, you know, he said, hey, you want to experience zero G? And he dropped the plane, and you'd see the Coke cans flying up and everything. And so, you know, we got down. I said, so, Nick, how long have you been flying? And he says, 6 months.
Fantastic.
I thought, you know, I am a crazy person.
You
want to go up on an airplane, and I just go.
There is that plane that they have, like if you're going to be doing, if you're filming a movie where you're supposed to be simulating spaceflight, like Apollo 13, there is that plane that you can go up in, and I think they call it the roller coaster. And they fly it up to like however high, and then they drop it, and you get about 3 minutes or something of zero gravity. Not simulation, it is the real thing, and then that's how they film like all of the space scenes. They're filmed in this aircraft that is sort of like plunging to the earth at such a rate that it gives you zero G. I mean, was it a weird? Did your stomach go into your throat? Or did your body feel weird?
I didn't feel weird, but there was a girl I was dating at the time who was on the plane, and I never had another date with her after that. So. Probably she felt pretty weird after that happened. But
Excellent.
If you don't like somebody, you bring them up and you do zero G. Scare them.
Fantastic. All right, my friend, big plans for the weekend. Oh, you're working tomorrow, though.
Yeah, I'll be working tomorrow, and then we'll be taking it one day at a time.
All right, my friend, breathe deeply and enjoy the sweet aroma of life, and we will talk to you soon.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, my friend. All right, there you go. CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. Maybe I've just used up all my speechifying ability like in the last 4 days.
Speechifying?
You know what I'm saying? Maybe it's not that I don't have things to say. I simply can't hook my words together correctly.
Do you want some cake?
What is that?
I don't know. Tim just brought it down. I had a piece of it. It's really good.
Is it from?
It's from upstairs.
Please.
Because they always serve food whenever we can't get it. You know that.
No one take offense at this. Is that listener food?
No, it's some like conference room food.
All right, but I mean, it's like a client. Do we know?
Was it dropped off? I don't think Tim would have brought it to me if it was listener food.
That's a phrase. No, and seriously, and I don't mean any offense, because it wouldn't be our audience I would be worried about. This is not typically. There is this phrase in radio. We had somebody email us, I don't know, 10, 12 days ago, and they were asking about radio slang. And I don't want to talk about today because we don't have time. We have all this other stuff to get to. But I have all these other sentences to mangle and things to say incorrectly and prepositions to put at the end of sentences and so forth. But somebody asked us about radio slang or terms that are only used in radio. And I don't know to what degree that's even really interesting to people. But the phrase listener food, no, every station I've ever worked at, that is a phrase that gets used. And it's always at certain formats, certain types of radio stations, largely country stations.
Yep, largely country.
Is where you have this. And it'll be like, and you'll go into the conference room or you'll go into like the kitchen or something, and there'll be some food. Maybe it's meat, maybe it's cake, maybe it's cake meat. You don't know. And it's wrapped in tin foil. And it'll be like, love your show. My whole family listens. You guys are the best, and, you know, and every third word is sort of, you know, with random misspellings and whatnot. And you, but you'll see food in the kitchen. And the first question anybody at a radio station asks when they see food in the kitchen is that listener food? And if it's listener food, you then have to clarify who the listener was. Was it a listener who was known to the radio station, somebody you know and kind of trust? Or is it just food that was dropped off by some random hick from Clackamas? You know, because if that's the case, you're going to leave it there and you'll let the weekenders and the janitor have it. So, hey, Tim, is this listener food that somebody brought us?
It is not listener food, and it is not from the Clackamas Lingerie Shop. It is from...
Have we received food from the Clackamas Lingerie Shop?
Have you been eating all the lingerie food?
Yes. Well, I gave some to Scotty to take home to Suburbia with him. I could tell you who this is in just a moment.
Oh, Alan, is this... Scotty J., is this our account executive, Alan Gabrowski, which you have spelled with a Z for some reason?
Browsy.
You know, the G... Never mind. I don't want to start a whole Belloc Belloche thing again. If this... Oh, I know what this is. I don't even have to... We might talk to Alan about this. We might not. Let me just ponder it for a second, but I got to tell you. I'll tell you exactly what this is. This is the other place where radio stations always get food. There are two reasons why food arrives at a radio station. One is there's some crazy, I'm sorry, devoted listener who wants to drop off food for you. And the other... is there's a restaurant that doesn't actually advertise.
That's trying to.
That brings you something free in hopes that you will mention the name of their establishment.
Well, shall we not mention these?
Well, let me ask if they're spending money. Hold on a second. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show our intrepid AE, Alan Gabrowski. Hello, Alan.
Hey, Rick. How you doing?
Let me ask you this. I see here the name of the restaurant that dropped off this food. Are they a current advertiser?
I do not know for sure. They're not my client, but I believe they advertise or are going to advertise with Movin 107.5.
But not us.
But not us.
Not you.
Well, they're dead to me. Yeah. I'm not going to mention their name then.
Thanks,
all right.
Unnamed place for the cake.
Thank you, place who I will never mention or give free advertising to for the cake. We appreciate it. Thank you, Alan.
Not a problem.
All right,
bye.
There you go. Yeah, I see who they are. That's Alan Gabrowski. God bless that guy.
I must see this.
No, if Dave Zinn mentions it, I think it's okay.
Let's see. You know, it's from, let me write down where it's from.
Oh.
Yeah, that place.
Okay.
Yeah. So, no, well, we appreciate it. Thank you so much.
It's good cake.
All right.
They don't need advertising.
No. No, they don't need my help. It's 503-733-2970. Scotty, who is Bobby Terrell? Why does that name sound familiar to me?
It's the guy who said, this is my full name.
Oh, God. Is that that guy that called him?
In some band or something.
Talking about himself in the third person and insisted we use his full name? And didn't he call up just to pimp his band and then we put him on the air and he choked? Didn't he be choked like a recessy Annie doll? Yeah. No, I think we're... Really? Why would I possibly...
You're being mean to them.
I'm not being mean.
You're hilarious, but you're mean.
I don't think I'm
you
that...
You feel better after you had a piece of cake.
No, I'm not trying to
eat
be...
Eat the cake, Rick.
I'm not trying to be... What do you mean, Ike Turner?
Eat the cake.
Eat the cake, bitch! but I don't want the cake.
You know, I know you like that place, and I know you want to try the cake.
I'm sorry, baby.
Just have a bite of the cake. It was really good. And I can't... I don't want to feel fat alone.
Let me just say this.
Had a piece.
Did you?
Yeah.
Boy, it's a Friday. This is not vegan cake.
I think it is.
There is not, Mrs. Janik. Okay,
it has nuts in it, so it means it's healthy.
Let me ask you this. Let me just stop now. Let me stop down the program. I love any chance, by the way, to act like Ike Turner. And then just to be like, Ike, sorry, baby. Come on. Ike, sorry. Ike, love you, baby. I'm not going to say that I'm being mean today, but Sarah, let me ask you this. I'm not going to deny that I'm a little bit giddy today because I had way too much caffeine right before the show and I was and way too much sleep. But would you agree, Sarah, that especially in the first 20 minutes of this program, that we were just getting a weird rash of nutty callers?
Yes.
That it was a whole, and even still, like this guy, Bobby Terrell wants to come on and talk about Bobby Terrell. I mean, and then we had all of the, like the guy who was calling, starting the show with a terrible joke, whatever that was.
It's just been kind of a weird week.
It has been a weird week, and today's been a weird day, and this was a weird hour of a weird day in this weird week. So
cast your problems aside and have a piece of cake.
Eat a piece of cake, Rick.
Food is the answer. All right.
You know you want to eat it.
Mr. Chocolate doesn't judge you, Rick. Chocolate loves you just the way you are. Chocolate doesn't think you're too fat.
It's not a bite.
I don't have a fork. I can't eat with my fingers.
Yes, you can. It's okay. I have a fork.
Chocolate doesn't mind if you eat with your fingers, Rick. Oh, you give me a fork that... Are you seriously giving me a fork that's on the floor back there?
No, I bought these forks, actually, because I'm sick of washing plastic forks.
This isn't a...
The company does offer chopsticks.
This not really?
Yeah.
All right.
That's a new one, so save it.
Hold on.
Big bite.
Have a big bite. Jesus,
take
this
a bite
huge.
Of the big one.
There are a lot of nuts in that.
Stop. You're just trying to make me laugh. Hold on.
Mmm.
Oh, that'll kill you.
I know.
God damn.
That's going to be gone by the end of the next break.
I can't have any more of that.
You can't just have one bite.
In this business.
I'm sorry?
It's either food or t-shirts in this business. Today it's cake.
Or like, you know the other thing you always get? Hi. The other thing you always get in radio, they'll give you t-shirts, food, or like plastic water bottles. I cannot even tell you how many, and they're not even like Navi bottles. Coffee mugs, too. Anything that holds liquids. I got like 500 of those in my basement from various radio stations. All right, we have to break here. We'll come back. Tim Riley returns on the other side. Now I'm drooling uncontrollably. I'm in the Ministry of Truth with the Noon News Hour. Later on, the top five, Aaron, Geek in the City, Duran, and so forth. You stay there. It's a Rick Emerson show. Don't go anywhere. Hello, it's the Rick Emerson radio program. Still to come today, Aaron Geek in the City, Duran will be here. We'll have a review of the new Simpsons film, Top 5 Weekend Songs, assembled by Scotty J. This, however, at the Ministry of Truth is Tim Riley.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 90 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
You will no longer be able to find Milwaukee prostitutes or any others from Clackamas County on Craigslist. They put an end to it. A man and a woman have been arrested for blatant, obvious prostitution being advertised on the Portland Craigslist website. Randy Joe Goodwin, that's Randy with an I, and J as in J-O Goodwin.
An I with a heart over it.
And Jimmy Roger Barner have been arrested on charges of promoting prostitution in the lower level of a two-story Milwaukee home.
They're all low level.
Police say a decent uninvolved family lived upstairs and weren't aware their downstairs neighbors are running a house of prostitution. Workers at the Umatilla Chemical Depot discovered a leaking mustard gas weapon inside a storage igloo. They don't say, they don't give a time thing for this. They don't say when it began, when it ended. Depot officials said the leak was found during a routine inspection and caused no damage whatsoever to the public. The structure contains filtering systems that prevent the escape of chemical vapors, or so they tell us. The mustard agent provides a less threat than the more dangerous VX nerve agent also stored there.
Now, is VX... I thought VX was made up. I thought VX was the stuff they use in that Nicolas Cage movie, The Rock.
No, we got some here, apparently, in Hermiston.
Well
so
done,
stop
Hermiston.
By and bring home some for the kids.
What else are you going to see in Hermiston, really? I mean, like, why else would you possibly go
Isn't
there?
Isn't that the watermelon capital of Oregon?
See, I think somebody else said that, but I don't think that that's necessarily true. I think that might be made up. I thought it was,
I don't think I'd eat anything that came from Hermiston, knowing.
You'll note that they don't advertise it as such. There's no big step. Hermiston, fresh. Exactly. You with a big smiling sun with sunglasses. Yeah, no.
That's skull and crossbones on the water.
Black Death brand watermelons. All right, let's see here. Yeah, okay. Here's Tim Riley. I was just looking at these calls that Scotty has banked up here, and here's what we've got. And again, I'm not trying to knock the callers. I'm not saying that I'm operating in my normally... my brain is wobbling a little bit strangely today, so I'm no one to cast aspersions. But I do think that there is some sort of full moon or something that's on the rise, because everybody's acting a little bit wackily. Scotty came up to me, by the way, in the hallway and announced that today's program, I swear to God, he said this to me, and he said it unironically as I was on my way to the bathroom during the commercial break. Scotty came up to me, and he sort of gave me the finger pistols, and he said, hey, don't you worry. Today's show is packed with kooky comedy. And I could tell from the way he said it that was with two Ks. It's just sort of the inflection was enough. Let's see. We've got a guy who wants to talk about vomit, a surgeon calling with a clean joke, and then Scotty has typed on the screen, wah, wah. And then we have, oh, for the love of God. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Is this the artist known as Bobby Terrell?
No. Okay. First of all, I have to redeem myself because last weekend I totally ate it over the line. And Friday night I went to my show, which I wasn't trying to pit my band. I was actually trying to get everybody to go down to the Eagles Lodge to go see the Dornbeckers because it was benefit for the kids. I wasn't trying to pit my show. So, but I walked into the place and I had no idea how many of my friends were listeners of yours because this is what I heard. I heard Bobby Terrell failed and everybody started, and I usually just got the choking sound from everybody else.
It's true. So, we brought you on to sort of announce the gig and just in spectacular fashion, you just started flipping right over your handlebars.
Well, and I'll tell you the reason why, because Thursday night, I went out in Scotty J style.
Were you vanilla ice drunk?
Goddamn.
Oh, yeah. And so Friday, I mean, it was a horrible day. You know, I was super hungover. It was hot out. I was, you know, my mind was fried. It was just terrible. Mm-hmm. So Saturday, we also had a show over at the Speakeasy. So I'm thinking, okay, well, you know, everybody made their jokes. It turned out a whole other batch of your listeners showed up there.
Fantastic.
And then scoffing me down, too. And then it was pretty just heckled and ridiculed all throughout the show, which was, you know, wonderful. I really did. So, you know, I really screwed myself over on air, and I just wanted to tell you, you know,
I'm glad we could help. I'm glad we could help to make your life a little more colorful.
So then everybody asked me on Monday if I was going to call up and try to redeem myself, which I tried calling. I sat on hold for 45 minutes. And so I'm calling back now. So hopefully you redeem myself.
All right. And we'll consider, we will pass the redeeming wand over you. You have been redeemed, sir.
Okay. Well, guys, thank you. Thank you very much. And I hope you guys have a great weekend. Oh, by the way, all your listeners that laughed and scoffed at me, after you guys.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Bobby Terrell. All right. There you go.
I love Bobby Terrell.
I don't even know who Bobby Terrell is. I don't know what he does. I don't know. I forget what his band's name is. I've retained no information about him other than his name. So, sir, I would recommend that you go with Bobby Terrell as your brand name. That really is... Be a big believer in the Bobby Terrell brand, sir, because that's the only thing that I'm retaining. About. I couldn't tell you what kind of music he plays. You could put a gun to my head. Hi, Frank. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
I just wanted to let you know that out here on the west side, there's this marketing campaign to try and convince the folks in the subs that Hermiston, in fact, is the watermelon capital of the world. There's a huge billboard basically at the 217 and I-5 interchange.
What does it say?
It just basically shows a couple of big melons and these red stickers on there that say Hermiston and something like if it's not from Hermiston,
fail?
It's not a melon or something.
Hermiston with just an exclamation mark. That's all you nearly need.
Well, it says here that they have an annual seed spitting contest at Watermelon Festival.
Yes, they are sophisticates.
All right. And they're advertising seedless watermelon, so I'm not really sure how that happens, but hey.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. Here's Tim Riley.
Six healthy reasons to eat watermelon. Beware of watermelons grown in Hermiston, Oregon. This is too close to the Hanford nuclear facility.
Does it really say
this
that?
Is under Yahoo Food. Yeah.
Sorry. Well, I mean, it does seem obvious, because not only is it downwind from Hanford, but is Hermiston closed? I don't know the relation. Where is Hermiston in relation to Umatilla?
I'm not sure. I've never been there.
You know, I've been there like 1,000 times, but I can't remember where it... Boy, let me just talk about... You want to hear about some retards. Let me talk about myself and my wife. And she's not a retard, but it's like my retardation... The aura is so strong that when she gets too close to me, it's like she becomes stupid for a while. It's like a flowers... You know, it's like a flowers for Algernon kind of thing. She gets near me, and I just put off this stupefaction vibe. You should have seen us last night trying to plan our trip to Europe. Because now that you all have decided that I'm going to England, and she's like, well, baby, but maybe you want to go to Italy. I'm like, no, honey, I'm sorry. Tim has decided I'm going to London, and Sarah's decided I'm going on the Strawberry Fields Forever tour or whatever it is you guys have talked about. I was telling you that you all have just figured it, which is fine for me. I mean, it's fine by me that you guys decide what I do, less thinking that I have to do. So we were trying to figure out if I could go to London. And you know, see that, and if it would be feasible at all, though, for me to get to Scotland And spend any amount of time in Scotland, or if it's just because, and so then we had this whole inane discussion about, well, can I just take a train to Scotland?
Yes,
and then we could, well, but see, then we couldn't figure out if Scotland was an island or if Scotland was like attached to something. And she's like, well, you know, Britain's an island. And I said, Britain's not an island. What are you talking about? She said, well, it's an island. And I said, no, Britain's attached to the rest of Europe. It's a thing. It's like Spain. And then she pointed out that Britain, we had to bring up the map because I didn't believe that Britain was an island. And so we brought up the map. We found Britain, but then I swear to Christ, we couldn't find Scotland. We spent about 15 minutes trying to find Scotland on the map. And we finally...
You are an ugly American. You're the definition.
Look, I didn't know... Look, if you pointed at me right now, I'm not even really sure that I could find Scotland for you. The only reason I was able to find it is because I went to some interactive Yahoo thing, and I just had to take me to Scotland, and the map zoomed in by itself onto Scotland. So, if in case anybody is curious, Loch Ness is 23 miles southwest of Inverness, wherever that might be. So I do believe that we can fly from London to Inverness very cheaply. There's an airline that'll actually do that pretty cheaply. Mm-hmm. Go there, hang out, see Loch Ness, get my picture taken like an idiot.
With his arm around his neck.
With some water in the background.
Give me some cardboard to get out.
Totally.
Nessie and me.
Maybe we'll have one of those boards that you can stick your head through.
Yes. And you stand with all of the other morons from the United States who are there. I'm here to see the Loch Ness Monster.
You should see if you can rent a boat and ride around.
I would totally do that because here's the thing.
That's the day you see Nessie.
In my heart, I know that there is probably no Loch Ness Monster. But, of course, as a child, I was fascinated by the idea and as an adult as well. But here's the thing. I have heard from so many people. Has anybody here been to Loch Ness?
No.
Okay. I have heard from so many people that, you know, the Loch Ness Monster myth, you know, aside, that Loch Ness is just a really creepy, really atmospheric place. I've heard a lot of people who they say if you go there, especially at dusk or dawn, they say that it's just unlike anything you've ever seen. They say that it's just so weird and creepy and haunting and just very, very, very intense to be there. Just the way that it's laid out, the way that it's cut out of the ground, the mist that hangs over it. So I would be very much into going there just to see it. So, but we're sitting there just looking at the map last night. Just such morons. Just such idiots. Such Americans. Sitting there looking. And, you know, and they were trying to, you know, and they were like zooming in on the map trying to figure out, well, I don't know. Is Scotland part of another country? I don't know. Let's go back to Yahoo and look. So, in any event. All right, here's Tim Riley.
I found a billboard for Farm Fresh, Sweet, and Juicy Hermiston Watermelon.
Mm-hmm.
With a comment, not just any watermelon. My mouth waters every time I drive past this billboard. It's clever marketing.
My pustules ooze every time I have some. Oh, yeah.
Hermiston Watermelons.
The home of the friendly atom.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's wonderful.
That's that.
My skin waters every time I have some.
My skin falls off every time I have some.
You like that guy at the end of RoboCop?
Yeah.
Have some watermelon.
The Washington State Patrol pulled over some guy in Black Diamond, Washington.
Black Diamond!
Because the driver's passenger looked as white as a ghost. Well, it turned out the person in the passenger seat was the pale head of a mannequin tied to the headrest of the car with a bungee cord. The State Patrol said the driver was agitated and profane as he argued with the trooper. Apparently, he was driving in the carpool lane. The trooper re-educated the driver by the definition of two or more occupants. So it was a mannequin. Uh-oh, this is the first time I've heard of this here. Movie rage. Apparently, it happened in downtown Portland at a Regal Cinema. But it's
wait,
a new one.
Wait, hold on. Let's all stop to prepare ourselves for what's going to be a fantastic story.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anything about this story.
Yeah.
I haven't read it.
No.
No one's emailed it to me. But just based upon your lead, just based upon the slug, they say, that you've given the tease, I can already tell it's going to be a fantastic story. Can I guess? Do you know what the story's about?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, let me guess here. Is this a man assaulting or threatening to assault someone else because they are on their cell phone?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, look at that. Fantastic. There it is. Do I have my finger on the pulse or what? All right, fantastic. Let's hear it.
Well, it happened at a downtown Regal Theater this week when an argument broke out over someone using a cell phone while people were trying to watch Transformers. Yeah, he was talking on it.
Yes, because you need every one of your brains. I'm sorry. Of all of the movies to complain about cell phone usage during.
Mm-hmm.
It's like complaining about cell phone usage during a porn film. Okay, go ahead.
And not only that, The light from the camera was just bothering people, and the movie had started with commercials, and he said, I'll turn it off when the movie starts. Well, once the movie started, Arroyo said the man kept talking on the cell phone, so he confronted him again, and the man on the phone pulled out a knife and cut him.
Ha!
The injuries aren't serious. He ended up with a cut in the thumb and decided not to press charges. So the movie managers called the police. They handcuffed the man, who was on the cell phone. He was questioned, but later released and never charged with anything.
Excellent.
The theater managers told him he could never come back.
This is a story. Well, everybody wins in this story.
Mm-hmm.
Great. That might be the best story we've had all week. Fantastic.
So the theater reminds moviegoers several times before the show not to use their cell phone.
Shut your goddamn pie holes when the movie starts. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Rick, what's happening?
Hello. Hi.
I was wondering if you caught that episode of Mad Men last night.
Now, I fell asleep really early last night. I fell asleep at like 9:15. It's sitting
don't
on the TiVo.
Us. I recorded it.
Did you? Now, have you watched it?
No, either? Not yet.
Okay, so Tim and I have both TiVo'd it. Tim and I, when we ride our tandem bicycle home, I sleep on bunk beds. No, Tim and I have both taped it, but neither of us have watched it yet. So please not to be giving anything away. But was it good?
It's fantastic. I'm telling you, the hook is set, and it's set deep. I've seen, this is the second episode they've aired.
Uh-huh.
And I'm probably going to go home and watch it, the second episode again, because they play it again and again, like, for the full week afterwards.
And that's actually the mark of a great show, because my wife and I do that with Entourage. We'll watch Entourage two or three times over the course of a week. I saw the first episode of Mad Men. I watched it, and then I watched it about halfway again when she was watching it. So, the pilot episode wasn't perfect, but it was really good.
That's really awesome.
All right, so fantastic. So it continues to be a quality show.
Yes, it's very funny. I'll just they're playing Spaceman. Just watch out for that scene. It's really funny.
All right, fantastic. I'm going to watch that tonight, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. That's Mad Men. And then I got to try to watch that Damages show with Glenn Close, which is on FX. Everybody's kind of raving about that, but I haven't gotten through it yet. Let me say this vomit call that's like an hour old. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi, Rick.
Hey.
Actually, it's something that was a while ago, but I thought we need to point this out anyways. I was calling about when you were talking about the airplane ride that you were calling the roller coaster.
Yeah, it's that plane that simulates, or I guess it doesn't say, it gives you zero gravity.
Right. It's called the Vomit Comet.
That's wonderful.
So my call was about the Vomit Comet, not about vomiting.
Okay, so it's only about vomit in the sort of abstract sense.
And it's not actual zero gravity, it's simulated. Because the plane's falling at the same rate you are.
So you're
falling at terminal velocity, so you're close to it. So it looks like you're floating because you're going the same rate the plane is.
All right, so it is simulated. So
right,
because
you're actually, if the plane wasn't around you, you would just be falling through space like you were skydiving.
All right. And let me ask you this. To your knowledge, does alcohol affect you differently in zero gravity?
I don't know. I mean, I would imagine it would. It's got to affect your... Because, you know, the astronauts, when they come down from the space station, are pretty screwed up with their muscles and stuff. So if your muscles aren't metabolizing the alcohol...
And I wonder if it would affect the rate at which alcohol would be, you know, would go to your liver and be metabolized.
Probably.
And be broken down and so forth.
Probably.
This is like the other thing that the NASA will never answer. The thing that they will never talk about is whether astronauts get it on in space, like whether they've secretly sent a man and a woman up there to have space sex. Because you know they have.
Right.
Only after a few drinks.
Yeah, that's why you need the shaker up there.
And why do they have to be a man and a woman?
Up there with, like, the Esquivel music playing. Hello, my sweet space fucks. But NASA did it. You know that was like the second mission they probably did it.
Raising a little space baby right now, seeing if he's got superpowers because he was conceived in space or something.
Only Clyde Lewis knows for sure, my friend.
And by the way, you guys you've had great shows this week. I heard Sarah mention earlier she thought the week had been kind of odd, but
not bad. It was it's been a weird week.
Well, but a good one.
No, it's like today. Today is one of those. Today is one of those shows where you just sort of get that feeling. You just get that feeling where there's just some weird kind of craziness in the air out there. I can just sense it, and it's sort of leaking into here. So, all right, thank you, my friend.
Good show.
Bye. There you go. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, Britney's son was hit last night during a Las Vegas brawl between her boyfriend and a photographer. The troubled star told police that one of her two sons, who have not yet been named, was assaulted during a scuffle between the snapper and her security. Britt had been at the Wynn Hotel and Casino for less than 24 hours when her children when the fight broke out. Police did not did not file charges against the photographer, but Britney's bodyguard was cited for misdemeanor battery. The star's bodyguard, Julio Camara, hit the snapper who was trying to get pics of the singer as she made her way through the motel.
You're totally talking in, like, weird variety speak today. The snapper with the pics of the nicks to chick, plicks to fix to, you know, whatever you're doing, that whole, you're doing all that lingo.
Oh, too much showbiz talk.
Okay. So it was, wait, so a guy was trying to take photos of Britney,
yes,
and a security guard punched him?
Yes, whose name is Camera. Not to be confused with the paparazzi.
That was, I think, what was, okay, that's where I got thrown. I'm like, what do you mean he was hit by Camera, but yeah, not a Camera?
No, Julio Camera.
Julio Camera.
This is the making of a promo right here.
If only...
Let's begin.
Broughton Bishop. If only his name was Julio Camera. All right, so...
So Julio Camera hit the snapper.
Is that like, what is that like, you sound like you're ordering food in a Waffle House or something. I need Adam and Eve on a raft and wreck them.
I should say
Julio Camera hit the snapper.
Yes.
The fat man has landed. The eagle walks alone.
In response, Britney filed a crime report on behalf of one of her sons, saying a second photographer had battered her son and her bodyguard in an earlier clash.
The celery stalks at midnight.
So it's not clear which of the boys was caught up and hit during the fight. Las Vegas cops say they were alerted to a disturbance at the Wynn Hotel and Casino shortly before midday. Responding officers determined that a private security officer, later identified as Mr. Camera, was escorting Brittany through the Wynn property when an altercation occurred when Mr. Camera and a photographer who was attempting to take pictures of Ms. Spears got in an altercation. The photographer was battered by Mr. Camera.
Fantastic. I wonder if Mr. Camera hangs out with Mr. Plumber and Mr. Coffee. There's your tagline. Yeah.
Too.
That wasn't even really funny, but now after Lisa's comment, I feel compelled to come up with punchlines now. I feel compelled to speak in sound bites. Is this Clyde? What were we just talking about? Did I summon him somehow?
Somehow.
Clyde.
I just got an email from Squid, and he's sitting in the Simpsons movie right now, and he just sent me a picture from his iPhone because he's one of the people.
Someone had to get stabbed.
Sure, talks on the cell phone.
Had to be knifed.
He said a guy walked in with a huge Krusty the Clown backpack on, and he set it next to him like it's his date, and he's sitting next to him. And he sent me a picture of it.
That's fantastic.
He's sitting behind him, and he took a picture.
They're only charging $6 to see that movie downtown.
Really?
Yeah, big sign out there.
Well, I mean, I would hope they would only charge. I mean, it's 74 minutes long. Seriously, how could they charge any more than that?
Where's the rest of the movie?
You should demand that. When it's over, you should demand.
We should have Scotty J. go down and protest.
Where's the rest of the movie? All right. Well, let's talk briefly to our friend Clyde Lewis. Hello, Clyde.
Hey, what's up?
What brings you to the phone today here?
Well, a lot of things. I mean, you were talking about a Loch Ness Monster earlier, and I had to call. I think it's going to be great that you're going to be finally going to a place where you really enjoy the Loch Ness Monster. And there's even a movie coming out called, I can't remember what it's called, but it's about a water horse. Have you heard about this? It's actually a Loch Ness Monster story. It's going to be out on out in theaters soon. I saw it in the previews when I went and saw Harry Potter the other night.
It'll just, I mean, I kind of know there's no Loch Ness Monster, but it'll be cool to see the place that I've watched a billion times.
Well, they
caught
something on film recently of the Loch Ness Monster that they say that it's Nessie's alive and well.
Yeah.
I mean, you're probably saying to yourself,
it's always just a
Loch Ness Monster like a dinosaur, but, you know.
I mean, yeah, it's always just like some sea otter that's, like, got a duck on its head or something.
It could be that, but still, it's kind of a strange creature that roams around. And, of course, Aleister Crowley used to live on Loch Ness.
Now, that's true, and so did Jimmy Page.
Yeah, Jimmy Page lived in his
Jimmy
house.
Jimmy Page of Led Zeppelin lived in Aleister Crowley's castle.
In fact, I'm thinking about going to Scotland in November. I'm going to be speaking probably to the Sonier Society. I'm hoping to get there. I'm talking it over right now with some people, and hopefully speaking there will be kind of fun to talk about the Holy Grail and all kinds of other crazy stuff out there. So it'll be a lot of fun to go out there. But what's really cool is what's going on tonight with my show. I'm doing the show online tonight. And I'm going to be doing it at the Ross Island Grocery at 3338 Southwest Corbett.
And this is IdeoCast is where people can hear that?
Yeah, IdeoCast.com. If you can't make it there, you can go and listen to it online. It's full online on air. It sounds. I mean, the show will sound like it did, you know, when it was on the radio. And not only that, but we have some footage. See, what we're doing is we're going to talk about the Shanghai tunnels. And the reason why is because the History Channel recently did a show about underground cities.
Right,
and it was on underground. And it was episode 13. That's weird. They talked about the Portland-Shanghai tunnels. Well, right after the History Channel was done with their report, we went into the tunnels and talked with Michael Jones, who is the proprietor of the Cascade Historical Society. And as we we were going down there, we were doing some investigations and everything. And the first time I went, I thought, no big deal. There's nothing really there. It's kind of a, you know, kind of a basement, actually,
right,
touring. And I know Tim's been to the Shanghai tunnels, and he told me to go.
I think everybody has but me. I think Sarah's been there.
Yeah.
I think everybody's been there but me. I'm like the last holdout, yeah.
It's
sure.
Next to Scotland.
So we went there on Friday, about 2-3 weeks ago. And as we were down there, something strange happened to one of the people. One of the people that was with us, she was actually, as we were standing in the hot area of the tunnel, there's this hot, really like 87, 88 degrees and very musty. We were standing in there, and all of a sudden it got cold in the tunnel. And we have a guy from the Trails End Paranormal Society that had a temperature gauge. It dropped 16 degrees. And as it dropped 16 degrees, I'm holding this camera, and I'm shooting this thing that I think is a ghost, but it's really a stupid shadow that's forming on the wall
from
a bunch of people. But what's really funny is because I'm so scared. I'm shooting this stupid shot thinking, oh, my gosh, it's a ghost. But the real thing that was going on was that this woman, Delana, who was with us, actually, you hear this jingling sound, and you look down at her hand, you see a thumbprint forming on her hand. And what it is that it's the ghost grabbing her hand and trying to take her jewelry from her. It's the most amazing footage that I've ever gotten while on a ghost hunt. And so we're going to put that on the IdeoCast site later tonight as we're talking about the incident and also talking about what goes on in the Shanghai tunnels. It's voted one of the 10 most haunted areas in the world. So if you want to check that out, it's IdeoCast.com tonight.
And then the live, if they want to see it live, is where?
At the Ross Island Grocery at 3338 Southwest Corbett. It's a great place to hang out. You've been up there. They have great sandwiches and great drinks and things. So, yeah, come on out. It starts at 6 p.m. tonight. We're going right on time, just like a regular radio show. 6 p.m. We're going till 8 o'clock. So you'll still be able to, if you want to, like, leave and go to other bars and have a good time on your Friday night, you can do that. But if you want to come out and hang out with us, we're going to be doing that.
Cool. Thank you, my friend.
You bet. Take care.
All right, there you go. Clyde Lewis, ladies and gentlemen. The website is groundzeromedia.org. All right. Fantastic. I'm just impressed that he admitted that part of it was a shadow. Because normally it's hard to get him to do any of that. Like that time, you guys, this is, I think, before your time. This is when I was still in Utah. There's that time when, like, I was in the studio with Clyde, and, like, the air conditioning turned on, and, like, the breeze, like, ruffled some papers, and Clyde, it's a ghost! And I look up, and it's, like, the big streaming things on the air conditioner flapping, and I'm like, the air conditioner, you shut your mouth, non-believer! All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, let's talk about these three men who say Lindsay Lohan getting in the driver's seat of an SUV outside the set of a Malibu party, drove over one of the men's feet, and took the other in a wild ride that preceded her weekend DUI arrest. Dante Nigro, Jacob Sitter, and Ronnie Blake spoke about this. The men were at a party when an argument between them and Lohan broke out. Her assistant and her assistant's boyfriend. There are too many people in this already.
Now, this is about Lindsay Lohan?
Yes. That's when Lohan's assistant got into her car and drove away, and Lohan allegedly jumped into the driver's seat of an SUV, started the engine, and accelerated. One fellow named Blake said he was scared and jumped out of the SUV while it was moving, and Lindsay ran over his foot and kept driving.
Well done. Now, is this the night that she got arrested?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, what is that article that came out where she said, I don't even know in what context she said this. All I saw was the pull quote, the little headline that they had to put in. It said, Lindsay Lohan says, it wasn't me.
I wasn't driving. The black kid was driving.
If it's the black kid.
One of the three men, an African-American.
I mean, get thee to a publicist, please. Just get some filter something through your PR people. I mean, I don't care whether it's true or not. When you're nailed with cocaine, first of all, don't say that you're wearing someone else's pants.
Well, before she got to the SUV, she told passengers, I can't get in trouble. I'm a celebrity. I can do whatever the F I want.
Yes, I can't possibly get in trouble. I'm driving with a black man in Los Angeles. There's no way we would ever be pulled over for no reason at all. That would never happen. So, and let me increase the chances that something will happen by carrying a lot of cocaine in my pants.
They weren't her pants.
Of course, I'm sorry. Let's go to a, I'm going to go, what go to a party. That I'm party? Throwing,
she threw a party for one of her best friends.
Yes.
And she just happens to put on somebody else's
find
pants.
Somebody else's dungarees. Put them on. Jesus. Way to throw your friends under the bus, by the way. It wasn't me, it was the black guy. You know? That's the problem with Lindsay Lohan is she has paid too close attention to American media because she knows...
They're the ones that get in trouble.
She knows that that's
not white girls.
I was just going to say. She knows that that's a gambit that works all too well in this country. Mm-hmm. I mean, really? even if you are, in fact, a black man, if you get pulled over at some point, just scream, it's not me, it was that black guy. And they'll probably, I mean, if it's the LAPD, the odds are they'll probably believe you. I mean, remember that was what Susan Smith did. God, we're going back in time with that one, like 95?
Yep.
Remember Susan Smith getting, it wasn't me, there was a large black man who came. And, of course, like 80% of America, as soon as they saw the white girl blubbering on television that a black man had done something bad to her, man, immediately, just the spotlight went right off of her. So, goddamn, Lindsay Lohan's just a horrible person. She's just an awful person. And you know, and here's the thing. I know the people think that we're being a little too mean to her because she's a junkie and she's got a problem and whatnot. But the way that you know that she's a horrible person is that her mom is a horrible person. And Lindsay Lohan is, it's not just that she's too young. It's that she's too young and has spent most of her life in like a cocaine haze anyway. So she has not had... She has not had the clear-headed, independent life of her own during which you separate yourself from the personality of your parents. You don't have to grow up to be like your parents. A lot of people don't. But there's a period of a few years where you kind of go out on your own and you think for yourself and you do whatever. And during that time, you leave certain characteristics and personality traits of your parents behind. She hasn't had that because her parents have been clinging to her like a pair of barnacles. And then she's just smacked out all the time. So if her mom's a bad person, and if Lindsay is both 21 and drunk and stoned all the time, you know that crab tree doesn't fall too far from the branch. So, all right, well, there you go.
Yes, he's out to jail for 4 days for Nicole Richie. Deputy DA Caroline Lugo said the message in this case is very clear.
This is a serious crime, and that if you drive while you are under the influence, you will be charged and you will be brought into court. And if you drive while under the influence a second time, you will go to jail.
Wasn't me, it was a black man.
Chill, sir. She'll serve the entire 4 days, and early release is prohibited. I could have said something.
Being in the city jail means that she will serve.
Would you like to go back and make a joke, Tim?
Hours that has been sentenced. She is not subject to the early release from the county jail system.
Yes.
Are you still thinking about the joke you almost made?
I am.
You know, if we were on HD right now, if we had an HD channel, you could make that joke.
I could.
All right.
But I won't.
Okay.
Yes, the judge is stern, but it's necessary for someone who breaks the law.
He should be stern with every human being who walks in and drives while they are under the influence. It's a crime. That's why we're all here. That's why you're here.
Who is this?
And she committed that crime. She pled guilty for it, took responsibility.
How is it that you only get hit with 4 days if it's the second time you've drunk, driven, drived?
Maybe it's celebrity drinking.
Tonight on Celebrity DUI. What? Because in Oregon, I mean, maybe Oregon is different. I thought in California, I thought it was a pretty a real deal there, where like if you got hit with a DUI, they really like effed you. Mm-hmm. But I guess not, because I think in Oregon, if you get hit with a second DUI in Oregon, isn't like a it's like a mandatory? They take your car away and they put you in jail for like 6 weeks or something. I don't really know. Whatever. Should I take whoever's on line three, Scotty? I mean, I guess I'm asking, even though you've screened it and passed it along, indicating that you think it's a fine call. Well, I guess we'll find out. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey there. So I can, I'm a doctor. I can answer the alcohol space thing.
Oh, excellent.
Space itself doesn't affect the metabolism of alcohol.
Yes.
What it does, and the reason you talk about muscles, when there's no weight for your muscles to carry,
yeah,
they tend to get atrophy and get a little weaker, and that's why you have to do those stationary bicycle stuff.
Okay.
In space. So the actual metabolism of alcohol doesn't really change. What happens is if your muscles are less effective, they may use the sugar that's generated from the alcohol less, but it doesn't actually, you don't get drunk faster because you're up in space.
Okay, excellent.
But that's not why I called.
Why did you call?
I called with a joke that I think may lighten everyone's spirits a little bit more.
Now, is this a joke that is blue in nature?
It pokes fun at an underprivileged population of our society, but it's not rude or, I mean, it's not crude.
Except to them.
Except to them. But
especially because you're not one of
not
them.
To the That's white right. man.
That's right. It's all in good fun, and I think it may lift
hold
the spirit of the show a little bit.
Say, hold on. Let's clarify something. This joke.
Are you a white man?
Yeah, I am.
Are you a heterosexual?
I am.
Okay.
Then it's absolutely fine,
go
sir.
Go right ahead.
I'm going to let you ponder this for just a minute. Hold on. I'm going to let you ponder for just a moment.
Thank you.
you know the implication. The implication is the people who will be offended by this joke are too powerless to do anything about it anyway. So
that's right.
Yeah. Time now for another angry white man show.
No, it's not angry. Come on, it just makes fun of. Anyways, so
it just makes fun
people who just don't look like you.
That's right. I can guarantee you. Well,
as long as this joke doesn't offend Caucasians, sir.
No. The vast majority of the targets of this joke are not listeners of your show, so you don't have anything to worry about.
I
don't know what that means.
I'm going to let you ponder this a second time.
No, come on.
Rick Emerson Show and CBS Radio do not, this call does not represent the views of anybody. Anybody here? Anybody who might work here? Anybody who might ever advertise? All right.
I pondered. Okay, so there are three girls. Their names are Raindrop, Snowflake, and Piano. And one day Raindrop goes up to her mom and says, Mommy, why did you name me Raindrop? And the mom looks at her and says, well, Angel, I was bringing you home from the hospital and a raindrop fell on your cheek and you gave me a great big smile, so I decided to call you Raindrop. The girl loves it, goes and tells her sisters, and so a couple minutes later, Snowflake comes up to her mom and says, Mommy, why did you name me Snowflake? And the mom looks at her and says, well, darling, I was bringing you home from the hospital, and a snowflake fell on your cheek. You gave me a great big smile, so I decided to call you Snowflake. And the girl loves it, and she goes and tells her sisters. And so a couple minutes later, Piano walks up to her mom, looks up at her mom gazingly, and says, Man, why did you name me Piano?
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have laughed, but God damn it, I didn't see that coming, and that was funny.
You wasn't that bad.
Okay, thank you.
Take care.
Bye now.
Bye.
And I should have seen it coming. That's one of those jokes where I should have seen that punchline coming after the first one. Because jokes all work in threes. I should have seen, as soon as he did the raindrop or the whatever the first one, I should have seen the piano thing coming. Okay, that's hilarious.
That was.
And as a white person, I feel fine with that joke.
He could replace Ibis.
Well, that'll be, by the end of the day, I think that'll be a possibility. All right. A little inside radio coming. All right. Jesus, is this the 20 we're taking? At 40? All right. 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Stay there. Radio program. It's 503-733-2970. I don't think I'll be... I'll leave that to Ron and Fez. I'll let them do that. You know, haven't we had this... I know that it seems like I'm picking on Scotty this week, but haven't we had this discussion about people who call up and want to be identified by a kooky name?
Many times.
Scotty has put through a man identifying himself as Chess Rockwell.
And then now he's going to type, no, Rick, it'll be really funny. Take that call.
Wah, wah. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, it seems we're in a little scuffle with the Saudis. Officials in the administration have long resisted blaming the Saudis for the chaos and strife in Iraq, choosing instead to blame Iran and Syria. Now, we all know darn well that all the money for these terrorists is coming from Saudi Arabia.
And we know that the terrorists themselves are coming from Saudi Arabia most of the time.
Of course, we can't say that because of some strange family connection between the Bush family and these other people. Yes, there is growing frustration as military officials are still cautious about publicly detailing the extent of the flow of foreign fighters coming to Iraq from Saudi Arabia.
You know, and it was nailed this morning, they are the worst. Mm-hmm. They are the worst of all the Arab countries, hands down.
40% of all these foreign fighters are Saudis. Now, thank goodness we have the New York Times who actually does some reporting, and not like the regular news media, all the news stations who just retype things that are fed to them by the government.
Roll over like poodles.
So anyway, so that's what's going on there.
They really are. They're like the Pazzini of the Arab world. I mean, they just shake our hand with, you know, and then just stab us with the other one or whatever it is, whatever that phrase is the guy says about Pazzini. They're just.
And the administration thinks the Saudis are no longer behaving like, quote, the role of a good vassal, unquote.
Really. They are our partner in peace.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's just get some of these calls. Is this a melon call? Really? Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show about...
Hi.
Melons, hi.
I had nothing to do with that Chet Rockwell thing. That was Scotty.
He's being funny.
I worked at this grocery store a couple years ago when I was in grad school, just to make ends meet, and I was working in the produce section, and I was cutting watermelons during the Harmison, you know, signature watermelons.
Yes.
And I cut through one of them just to ran wrap them, and there was a speedball in there of methamphetamines. And I was on the news and everything.
That's wonderful.
Because they were trafficking meth in Hermiston watermelons. And it occurred to me that, man, they're selling these for like 19 cents a pound. You know, I mean, no wonder those weirdos were hanging out at the grocery store all the time. Couldn't get enough.
Jesus. And so that was, I mean, how would you get the meth inside?
They had, well, the reason we were cutting them in half is sometimes they get a dent or a bruise on them, so you cut off half.
Uh-huh.
So there was like a little pinhole that they had rammed them in with a rod or something.
Oh, I see. And so, yeah, so, the, okay.
So I'm like, oh, well, we got to cut these, salvage what we can.
And then there's just a huge thing of meth inside. And
yeah,
so,
no kidding. I'm just like standing there like, oh, God.
That's fantastic. But, I mean, it really is strangely appropriate. It's, I mean.
Right, well, it's fitting with Hermiston.
It really is. Hermiston's signature watermelons. The signature has a backward R, by the way.
That's right.
Thank you. That's
no
a
problem.
Great call. That's wonderful. Basically, you know, listen, the quality of the calls today has been strange but great. It, like that guy who discovers meth inside a Hermiston watermelon, and the last guy who, and again, we simply suspect, we don't know, whose co-worker was arrested in Milwaukee for prostitution. Imagine what your typical Milwaukee whore must look like, though, really. I mean, honestly. What do you suppose your typical Milwaukee prostitute, really? I mean, and she was in like a split-level apartment or something?
I believe so, yes.
I mean, come on.
With a family living upstairs.
Not even walking the streets. Just sitting in a Milwaukee living room waiting for men to come in. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, let's talk about drunken astronauts, shall we?
Can we?
Some of NASA's top managers are refusing to comment on this internal investigation.
No comment.
That found astronauts twice were flying drunk. NASA Associate Administrator of Space Operations Bill Gastenmeier said the issue never made it to his desk.
There's not been a disciplinary action or anything I've been involved with regarding this type of activity.
Somebody's gonna get fired.
Then there's this case of sabotage. A worker at a subcontractor cut wires on a data collection device to be flown to the International Space Station. NASA Associate Administrator of Space Operations Bill Gastenmeier, who answered the last question, says pre-flight inspections at Kennedy Space Center would have caught the damage.
It never got on the shuttle. It was down here in Florida, ready to be loaded into the mid-deck. It was undergoing some tests. But even before we got to the test down here, the contractor disclosed it to us.
And everything's fine.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, Rick. Oh, see, now I'm getting two different things. I'm getting email from people who've seen the Loch Ness Monster, email from people who've eaten Hermiston watermelons and had terrible gastrointestinal distress, and then email. We have a huge number of British people who listen to the show. I don't know what that's all about. We had a huge number of Brits in the audience.
Well, they're tired of hearing about flooding over there.
And what is it? That, I know London can flood, but the rest of that country is just going to be washed away clean. There'll be nothing left.
It's their fault for not living in London.
It's their own fifth ward over there.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Rick, I'm delighted you're going to England. I hope you like history. Where the history comes from. Some place to see while in London would be... Oh, Sarah's not going to like this. He's starting right off the bat with Madame Tussauds.
Tourist trappy.
That's if you only have a week there, you're going to spend an entire day waiting in line to look at a bunch of stupid wax figures.
Yeah, in your face, Brit guy. You know, would you like to know? Hey, let me just anger the British audience members even further. So I was, because my wife, she's now going, do you want to be more jealous, Sarah?
No.
Okay, never mind.
All right, where's she going?
Well, it's not where she's going. She's actually going now even longer. She actually, and again, this is not a reflection upon me or my station of living. This is really simply and solely a reflection on my wife and my wife's job stability and income. Scotty's whispering in Tim's ear right now.
They're talking about houses.
Oh, is there, maybe there's a news story of some kind?
We're working on something.
Okay, all right.
Oh.
How exciting.
Awesome, Rick.
No, this is not a reflection upon me, and this isn't an indication of my career status or income. This is all about my wife, who cannot be fired from her job at which she makes an exorbitant amount of money, and at which she receives like 40 weeks of vacation or something a year. My wife is actually now spending the entire month of September in Europe. So I am going to be joining her for 1 week. And during that 1 week, we'll be in London. But she is actually spending the entire month of September in Europe. So she's added like some other sweep of like 9 different countries. So she was going to be spending 2 weeks there. Then it was 3 weeks. Now it's the whole month. So she'll be in Europe for 4 weeks. I will be there for like 7 days or something like that. And we're going to be in London. But so she was like giving me the full court press, though, on going to Italy with her. And I said, well, you know, Italy, like, I'm not opposed to going to Italy if I have to travel. I said, that'd be kind of cool. But I said, you know, if I'm only going to have 5 or 6 days, I don't want to split it between countries. And Italy is something, if I ever go there, I'd like to spend a long time there, maybe 10 days or so. Said, I'm only going to be 5 or 6 days. I'd rather just be in, you know, Britain. And she just said real casually, yeah, but they don't have any good food in Britain. All their food sucks. Let's go to Italy. And so I promised her that I was going to relay that today, simply and solely to irritate the British members of the audience, that in the estimation of my wife, who has never been to your country, all of your food sucks. So there you go. That's a little gift from my wife to you.
The food wasn't bad there.
What's that?
Well, the food wasn't bad there. Well,
no, that's why I told her that. It's just a stupid thing to say. That's like saying there's no good food in America. I mean, there's 280 million people here. You can't say that. Everyone in America has brown hair. There's nothing you can say. So, anyway, blah, 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 blah. So I thought you'd be jealous to learn that. So you can...
Yes, I am. I'm trying to ignore you.
Well, it's okay. Well, I'm jealous of you because you're going to New York. So, I mean, it's not that I'm not excited to go to Britain. I would not be doing it if I was not married. You know, if it was not for my wife, I would not be going. That being said, it's going to be cool. I'm sure it'll be kind of exciting. I am jealous you're going to New York, though, because New York's fantastic.
Oh, I would trade with you in a second. I'd love to go to London.
Do we have breaking news, Tim Riley?
We do. I don't have much on it, though. Two TV news choppers have collided while they're both covering a car chase in Phoenix. That's two TV news choppers have collided while covering a car chase in Phoenix. That's all we know at the moment.
I thought it was going to be happy breaking news.
That's scary.
Yeah.
That's not happy at all.
No. But it didn't happen here.
No. Chopper.
No.
I'm just saying it's news chopper. I'm clarifying that it's a chopper.
You keep your finger off of that button.
Right. Don't do it.
I'm not doing anything. Back away from the button. All right. Well, that sucks. Now, can I just say the thing we're all thinking?
Sure.
Who knows what I'm thinking? Sarah?
I don't think like you.
Oh, then don't lie. Why do you have to... Don't deceive yourself, woman.
Oh, I think I know what
you're
thinking.
No better than we. You used to be better than us, but that time has passed. You have been dragged into the sewer with Tim and I long ago. Tim, what am I thinking? Do you want to guess?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
The power of two.
No.
Unicorns.
No, I was not thinking that at all. The power of two.
I didn't even mean
you are going to hell, Tim Riley. That is so much worse than what I was thinking. That's not what I was thinking.
I thought that was mild compared to the way that you think.
That really was, that was gold.
Now, we want people to know this happened in Phoenix. It didn't happen here.
No, that didn't happen here. I wasn't thinking the power of two.
Maybe I should stop thinking for the rest of the afternoon.
No. It's not really the thinking part. I think you were thinking that Nicole Richie comment either. It's just the speaking. No, I was just wondering. These two news copters that collided. I was wondering, well, are they both filming? So is there going to be this horrific dual footage of the collision? That's what I was wondering.
Well, I'm sure people are going to go look for it right now.
And so if both helicopters are filming and then they collide and they crash, are they inevitably going to have on the news some split screen of the footage? Do you know what I mean? Where on the left side is helicopter number one, on the right side is helicopter number two.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I was wondering. Are they going to have some split screen thing where, you know, you see both helicopters' footage?
Nope, I was just looking at that.
All right. Hey, Scotty, is that true that the Randy Goodman in that news story is a woman? Really? Okay, so it's not whoever that other guy, the other Randy Goodwin or Godwin or whatever it is that that caller worked with. Randy? Yes, I know Randy. Oh, what is this? Is this the
footage? I'm looking at some footage here.
Is this the crash footage?
I'm not sure. Okay, I'm watching a helicopter shot of something. Well, I'm not helping.
I'm watching a refrigerator cool off
here,
some milk.
I'm just sitting here watching something, and apparently there's no audio with it. Okay. I guess they're. Oh, I see.
This should be our new HD channel.
They're showing the crash scene at the moment, and nobody is speaking.
All right. So there you go. Well, we'll have updates on that, I guess. All right. Okay, it's 503-733-2970. Let's see here. We got, listen to Idealist Scotty. They wouldn't possibly play that footage, Rick. Come on. Yeah, of course.
They're showing, showing them burning.
Yes, in this country, they're showing footage of dead bodies and helicopters on the ground, Scotty. I'm looking at it right now. There's two smoldering helicopters right next to each other on the ground. Of course they will. They'll absolutely show the crash.
Yeah.
Seriously, I've lost track of the number of... Oh, please. Okay, this even...
Scotty J.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Please, I kiss you on the mouth. Please let me...
Good morning, Metolia.
Goddamn.
Scotty J, our intrepid PA. Hello.
Hello.
I've lost track of the number of plane, helicopter, and car crashes I've seen in the news in my lifetime.
Right, but this is pretty horrific. I don't think they're
as opposed
show
to the happy ones?
In the news, they're not going to show two news people colliding and
why not
blowing up.
Why
in
would
the
they
air
not?
I'll place a dollar.
I'm asking you why. Like, what makes this different?
Well, I don't know. This is pretty horrific.
Did they show September 11th?
They showed it like 1,000 times, if that.
I just can't see them actually putting the news of two news guys colliding on the news. I don't see it.
Yes, because the news never tries to get ratings by showing horrific crashes or anything. That just doesn't make any sense. Why?
They'll show the burning rubble, but maybe there wasn't even any footage. Who knows? But
there was, because they were filming a car chase, and you know why they were filming a car chase.
For ratings.
Yeah, and you know why? Because they're hoping that the guy will crash or be shot by the cops. That's the only reason to film a car chase.
Only during a children's book.
Well,
I bet you that the actual news companies where those helicopters work for in Phoenix aren't going to play it. Somebody else might catch wind of it. But
somebody didn't update it. It said high-speed chase is underway.
Yeah, it gives you my Fort McDowell Casino. Aaron, Aaron is noting that it'll end up on YouTube sped up with Benny Hill theme music. Signed, I am a terrible person. They'll absolutely show it. That's what news organizations do. They show gruesome things, so you'll watch.
Yeah,
I think Carl Click would agree.
I bet you anything if a coin helicopter crashed, which would be horrific, they wouldn't show that.
They would.
I just don't think a coin
helicopter because they don't have enough money to gas it up to get off the ground.
There you go.
Seriously. All right. I don't even know what we're doing anymore. All right. What time is it? I guess I have a watch on, don't I?
There are clocks throughout the building. Oh, it says here, click live for live video from Chopper 15.
Do it.
All right. Well, the screen is white at the moment. Here. All right. Let's see what it does. It's connecting to the media.
This double helicopter.
So maybe
crash.
This is a helicopter that wasn't involved. Because I would imagine there are more than two stations with helicopters in Phoenix. It's a major market.
Yes.
So this could be the helicopter that wasn't involved.
Here we got another one. So this, we've confirmed, by the way, that woman, Randy, with an I.
Randy!
Is actually a female. He said, probably not that guy's coworker. Sorry to crush your hopes. No, it's okay, sir.
She's 22 years old.
Yeah.
Randy Joe.
Randy Joe. All right. So what is the...
I'm getting nothing but a black screen.
Well, that's kind of depressing.
It's supposed to be...
I guess what were we hoping to see? What were we supposing that they were going to show, I guess?
This is supposed to be Sky 15.
Not really Sky anything at this
No,
point.
Apparently not. Well, no. Let me push this ready button here and see what it does. It's really not doing anything.
I guess, really, we might have expected this since there's not really anything to show at this point. The camera's probably not in optimum condition. It's really
I'm just
not
seeing a black screen.
Yes. Okay, thank you for not calling it the black screen of death. All right, it is. Why are all these people calling us? Let's see. Helicopter crash calls.
Hey.
Hi, what's up?
I heard from another news guy on Fox. They said that on the inter-helicopter radio, they were screaming to each other on the way down. And it's all just more dirty laundry. And this is KCMD, Portland.
A CBS radio station.
Thank you.
Also, okay, this...
Bye now.
This,
that's morbid.
Thanks for doing the legal.
This TB-15 helicopter was the second helicopter in the crash.
All right.
Why we're not getting a picture.
Okay.
Oh.
Well, I mean, it's... Look, it's so weird, though, and it's strangely, you know, it is strangely... What's the word I'm looking for? Whatever. But then as they're following the car chase, mm-hmm. and this one in Phoenix?
Yeah.
And it's weird, though, because Phoenix is just so... I mean, it's a populated area, obviously, but it does seem like it's so big and expansive and sort of flat.
And because this does involve competition, they are, ABC-15 is identifying it was their helicopter, but will not identify the second TV station.
Oh, of course. Of course. You don't want to acknowledge that there was another network there. All right.
Well, he said a second chopper was involved.
Well, let's just get this, and then, well, we might as well just sweep this, and then we'll break in like 8 or 9 minutes. And I got this, speaking of ABC, I have this hilarious thing from ABC to play.
But not this.
No, that's not hilarious at all. Hi, that's, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Rick, it's Boba Fett.
Hi.
Hey, I was just typed in onto YouTube.
Yeah.
And, yeah, how Scotty was saying how, you know, they're not going to
show... They would never show a helicopter crash.
They would never show a helicopter crash.
That would be tasteless.
Yeah, if you typed in the words news helicopter crash,
yeah.
there's a whole page of that. Just different news stations showing their helicopters crashing and burning.
Okay, in your face, Scotty. All right. Thank you, my friend.
Yep.
This email says, Rick, for the sake of the truth and entertainment, tell Scotty J to go get in a car chase and see if the news will broadcast Scotty J getting arrested. We really need to have this information. All right. Okay, so I have this, and if you would like to view along with this, you can. It's at rickemerson.com. You go to rickemerson.com and look at the link that I have posted. It is the most recent blog entry, and it was sent to me by a guy named Steve. A guy named Steve sent me this news clip, and it is a clip of an interviewer. Her name is Mary Miller. Do you know who Mary Miller is?
No.
And that's Mary,
no.
By the way, M-E-R-R-Y. And Mary Miller is a reporter for ABC News. She works for ABC. She doesn't work for KBOO. She doesn't work for a college station. This is an ABC News reporter, and she is interviewing Holly Hunter. Holly Hunter of Raising Arizona fame, and who is now in that show Saving Grace. Mm-hmm. She plays Grace. The guy sent me this interview. What did he say? He said, Rick, I stumbled upon this, and it can only be described as the worst, most awkward interview ever. A woman from ABC...
Oh, I don't want to hear it.
Oh, no, it's terrible. A woman from ABC interviewing Holly Hunter, who still looks good about her new show. Can you pick out every mistake she makes during the exchange? And then he says, at the end, the producer screaming in frustration... At the end, the producer screaming in frustration is hilarious. Steve. Okay, so this is even better if you can see the video that goes with it.
Oh.
Because every time... There's nothing happening. Every time there's no audio, know this, that this idiot woman who is interviewing Holly Hunter, every time you don't hear a question, know that the woman is shifting uncomfortably in her seat and sort of looking around and then down at her hands and then like off the camera like she's looking for a cue card. Now, and I don't think you can hear most of this, but if you listen to this really carefully with headphones on, you can actually hear the producers screaming at her to, like, get her crap together and like, get the interview rolling. Let me see if I can... so this is...
Welcome back to Watch...
So this is Mary Miller.
Oh, I don't want to hear it.
Oh, no, it's great. It makes even, like, the worst of our interviews, really, it just makes it look like I'm on C-SPAN. So this is a woman named Mary Miller interviewing Holly Hunter. And again, every time there's dead air, it's this woman looking around nervously and then trying to think of what to ask Holly Hunter. And then I'll pause it a couple times to see if we can actually make out the producer yelling at her over the headphones. Right here at the very beginning, there's a little segment. Again, I don't know if you can hear this on the radio, where... She says, hey, here's Holly Hunter, blah, 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 blah. And then she says nothing. And then she says, here's Holly Hunter again. And then she says nothing. And Holly Hunter's there. They can hear each other. The woman just has never done an interview before. And you can actually hear the producer in the background going, ask the question, which is great. But the best moment is at the end. So I'll play the whole thing. This is Mary Miller from ABC News interviewing Holly Hunter.
Welcome back to What's the Buzz. You may know her as Academy Award-winning actress, but today she's here to talk about...
Academy. Let's just start that from the beginning. Academy Award-winning actress.
Welcome back to What's the Buzz. You may know her as Academy Award-winning actress, but today she's here to talk about a new project on the small screen. We're talking about the talented Holly Hunter in her new TV drama series called Saving Grace. Holly, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, thank you.
All right, Holly, thanks so much.
Now, what she's done, that you can't
stop.
You can't hear this unless you really crank it up with headphones like I did. When she comes back after that pause and the woman doing the interview, Mary Miller, says, "Tuck," you hear her say that, and it's because that's what the guy is screaming at her in her headphones. If you turn it up loud enough, you can hear him in her headphones going, "Tuck!" And she just mindlessly repeats it. She just says, "Tuck." And I've taken it out. I've actually edited it out because he's swearing, too. And it was a little audible. But on the video, you can absolutely hear it. And that's why she says, "Talk," because the guy's yelling that at her.
Talking about the talented Holly Hunter in her new TV drama series called Saving Grace. Holly, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, thank you.
It's right there. He's yelling, he yells, "Talk." And that's
why
she repeats it.
Thanks so much for joining us.
She says again.
Ask a question. I heard.
Oh. Okay,
I have to back this up again.
Rick, just get through it.
You can hear the producer yelling at her in the headphones, "Ask a question."
Thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, thank you.
Talk. All right, Holly, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh.
Okay, we love the show. So tell us, what drew you to this character that you play, Grace?
I'm sorry?
What drew you to this character, Grace?
Well, you know, I read the script. It came to me.
And Holly Hunter clearly is stunned by the fact that she's talking to a mentally defective 9-year-old. And the weird thing about this is, I don't know what's happened to Holly Hunter's voice, but it's like her mouth is stuffed full of marshmallows. She's always had kind of a weird diction, but her mouth, it's like she's stuffed full of cotton or something. It's really bizarre. Her speech patterns and voice have gotten really weird.
What drew you to this character, Grace?
Well, you know, I read the script. It came to me a few months ago with an offer, and I got about to page 6, and I called my agent and said, "Look, if this keeps up, I can't say no to this woman. I can't have anybody else do her but me." And when I got to the end, I called back and said, "Yes, this is I gotta go."
Well, we just love this show.
Okay. So,
you're welcome. So what drew you from the big screen to TV? Because we hear that you don't watch TV.
This little talking in the background, by the way, is a clip from the show.
I think that this is a really original woman, you know, and I've played some really amazing characters in my life, but it's still a rarity to come upon somebody who I feel is original. And she's such a character filled with opposites, and you rarely see that. Generally, somebody is almost a two-dimensional character, and here you have a woman who is, she's opposites, you know? She's good and bad.
Now listen to how she's doing this whole in-depth analysis of what her character is like, and I think this is the great moment. She does this whole breakdown of the character, and listen to the great rejoinder that the interviewer Mary has.
Bad. She's a goddess. She's a mad woman. She's a beggar. She's a drunk. She's an incredibly generous aunt. She's a good time girl. She's a wild child. Yeah, she's a great, great, intelligent, cunning cop. So I couldn't say no.
Well, I love this character. So are you nervous at all tackling something so controversial?
No. You know, I leave that to other people.
True. All right, anything else?
It's great. And every time there's a little pause.
Are they in the same room, or is it like a...
No, it's on satellite. But you can tell they can hear each other. It's just that the interviewer is a retard. And so every time there's a moment's silence, the interviewer, Mary Miller, just gets this huge deer in headlight look. And then she starts glancing around, looking for, like, as though a question is on the floor somewhere. And you can hear the producer screaming at her in the earphones to, like, get her act together.
Cunning cop. So I couldn't say no.
Well, I love this character. So are you nervous at all tackling something so controversial?
No, you know, I leave that to other people.
True, true, true. All right, anything else you want to tell us about Grace?
You know, we premiere Monday
night.
This video night,
this is only half over, by the way.
No!
At 4 p.m. right after the closer on TNT. So, you know, I think the show is really thrilling. It's a great ride.
I think it's a great ride. What's the best part about shooting?
First of all, they both have terrible diction, but Holly Hunter, at least, is an actress. This woman is an anchor person, an interviewer, and she just... It's like I used to work with a woman who could not pronounce the word Saturday. She would pronounce it as Saturday. It's constantly... And she was on the air, of course. This is like that joke that Tim makes in that Kyle Gass promo where we're talking about lame questions you can ask. Do you like the Beatles? Who is your favorite Beatle?
What's your favorite color?
That's exactly what these questions are like.
It's so funny. I think that the sense of humor in the show is
the way that this all ends, by the way, is gold.
I mean, it's sophisticated, but it's also kind of Three Stooges. I mean, it's silly as
Holly
hell.
Holly Hunter sounds drunk.
And unbelievably smart.
I'm really very smart.
Well, I think it's fantastic. All right, so now that you've wrapped up shooting, what are the rest of the summer plans?
Well, actually, I haven't wrapped up. We're in our 10th hour, which is pretty exciting.
Idiot.
We've got, you know, 3 more hours to go, 3 more episodes to shoot. So it's going to be sad to say bye to it. But
now, keep in mind, by the way, and I have to say this. No.
Just get through it.
Keep in mind that this woman works for ABC, okay? She works for ABC News, the American Broadcasting Company. She works for ABC.
But we'll finish up at the beginning of August. And then I'll go back to New York.
Yeah, well, we want you back in New York. We are so excited about this show. It's so good to have you back. We are all thrilled to watch it.
ABC.
Oh, great, thank
all
you.
All right, and you do a great job. So thank you so much for joining us.
Long pause.
You can catch more Holly on Saving Grace, which is going to premiere Monday, June 23rd at 10 p.m. Eastern on TNT. All right, folks. That's all the best we have for you today. Make sure to check us out on demand at the Arts Entertainment section of NBCNews.com.
Oh! Now, here's the great thing about this. I'm going to back this up here. She works for ABC. When she says, listen, find out more at NBC, I've turned this up as loud as I possibly can here. Hopefully you can hear it. The producer screams in the background. The producer actually says, no! In the background, and I hope it carries over the radio. If not, you can go to my website and you can watch. As great as this sounds,
oh, you have it.
Oh, the video is
and
so
I can't
great.
Not watch it.
Oh, it's so wonderful. She's so bad. She's so atrocious. But when she says NBC, because she works for ABC, when she said NBC, the producer actually screams off camera, and I don't know if it's audible or not, but he does it.
All the best we have for you today. Make sure to check us out on demand at the Arts Entertainment section of NBCNews.com. I'm Mary Miller.
Did you hear that? I don't know if it carried. I don't see. Did you just hear it?
I heard the scream.
Let's do that one more time. I don't know if it's. We'll have to be very quiet, and maybe the AM processing will kick it up so it carries.
The band at the Arts Entertainment section of NBCNews.com. I'm Mary Miller in New York. Thanks for watching this edition of What's the Buzz.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Isn't that wonderful?
And I mean, that's like only 40% of how great it really is. I really strongly encourage you to go to rickemerson.com and watch that interview. It's so great. It's just so wonderful. It's one of the best things I've ever seen. It's so wonderful.
How does she have a job at ABC and there's so many unemployed, talented people?
No, I think we know the answer to that. Don't we, Ryan Seacrest? Let's see. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick. Thanks a lot. My favorite Beatle is Paul.
Thank you.
Hey, I saw Holly Hunter on an interview on the Leno Show, and I thought the same thing about her diction. And what it sounds to me like is either, you know, maybe she forgot to take out her retainers, you know? She sounds like she's adding a C-H, like a sh, behind every S. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, in a way, I find it kind of sexy because it makes her sound kind of like a real person, not like some overly polished actress type. But you're right, and it seems to get worse though, which makes me wonder if it is like a speech impediment.
Well, it made me really uncomfortable to see her speaking like that on the Leno Show. But I thought, well, maybe again, maybe it's just a one-time thing. But to hear it again in this interview. Plus, that interview is hilarious.
Yeah, no, it's great. And like I said, I really strongly urge you to go and watch the video of it. Because just to see, are you watching it?
Without the audio.
Oh,
yeah.
No, I'm going to check it out this afternoon.
Just the idiot look on this news person's face as she's interviewing Holly Hunter. It's so great. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
All right. By the way, this email says, Rick, the video of the crash is already on Fox News' website, signed, Mike, I am a black man and I didn't do it. All right. Thank you. Let's see. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi, Rick, is it me?
Yeah. Yes, it is, sir.
Thank you. I never talked to Scotty J, but I'm happy to be on, and I'm loving the part where she says, what drew you to this character? And Holly Hunter says, I couldn't say no to this woman. I don't want anyone else to do her but me.
No, it's great. It's filled with little moments. And let me just play one more little. Let me play the beginning just one more time. Listen to how she does the full intro twice. She says blah 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 blah, and I think she's like, "Welcome to Holly Hunter." There's a long pause. The producer screams at her to ask a question, and so she just does the intro again.
Welcome back to What's the Buzz. You may know her as the Academy Award-winning actress, but today she's here to talk about a new project on the small screen. We're talking about the talented Holly Hunter in her new TV drama series called Saving Grace. Holly, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, thank you.
Dumb pause.
Talk. All right, Holly, thanks so much for joining us.
Pause again.
Oh. Okay, we love the show.
It's so gratifying. All right. Yeah, no, it's great, sir.
Yeah, well, that was my one comment. Thanks,
all right.
Rick.
Thank you.
Good show.
You go. All right. Well, let's just finish out these calls. Is there anything new on this crash, Jim?
We have a live feed coming through now if you want to pump me up here.
Okay, let's just...
We've been following a breaking news story this morning.
Apparently, they were both CNN affiliates. I wonder if CNN is covering it to any degree. Hey, Scotty, can you... Can we drop that feed for a second until it buffers? Hey, Scotty, can you do me a favor? Can we try to wrangle up CNN? Because apparently, I'm looking at this now. Both helicopters were
CNN
affiliates.
One was ABC 15. The other was,
KTVK and KNVX.
Right. One was an ABC. Another one was Channel 3, but neither were Fox affiliates. The Fox affiliate is Channel 10.
Do we get the hard feed off the satellite over there, Sarah? Are they feeding anything on that satellite, on the CNN satellite channel? I don't think they probably are at this point.
Nope.
Let's get the feed off our television.
We can go back to this
all
other
right, well,
feed
let's we should probably break here. Let's break and come back at the bottom of the hour. It's 1:25 or so. It's a good time to do it anyway. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Tim Riley, the bottom of the hour, of more on this helicopter crash that just happened in Phoenix. Later on,
best athlete.
Aaron Geek in the City, Duran will be here. And the top five. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. Back after this with Tim Riley at the news desk. The Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Rick, now I know why you call it Vantucky. I just spent almost 3 hours at a Chuck E. Cheese. That's got to be fun. I saw more white trash and pregnant teenagers who look like meth users in one place than I ever thought imaginable. Thank you. Thank you for support of my sanity. Jim at the Coup. Please, P.S., I can also get you all the chocolate Chex Mix you want. Just say the word. You know, I was cleaning out my office the other day, and I was looking for some... you know, I was just like, crap that I wasn't using, trying to get some more space on my shelves. And I found 5 of those big bags of Chex Mix that I didn't know I had. And I immediately took them and put them down in the kitchen so that they would be gone. Because I knew if I left them, that I would eat them. Rick, I totally heard the scream on the radio when you... Oh, but I had to... Oh, this is the Holly Hunter interview we're playing. I totally heard the producer scream in the radio, but then I had to watch it. Fantastic interview.
You have to see it.
Now I'm going to go watch the helicopter crash. Thank you, sir. Yeah, you really go to rickemerson.com, and we link to it. It's on the Superficial, which is where it was originally hosted. But you go to rickemerson.com, you can watch this woman, Mary Miller, interviewing Holly Hunter. It's just like the best thing ever. Let's see. Mike, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Rick, how you doing?
Hey, what's up? Howdy.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, man, that interview was golden. That was
the best I've ever heard on this show.
I might play that interview every time we're about to interview somebody just to sort of set the bar so that we will look even more glorious by comparison.
Yeah. Hey, I was riding around in my truck here, and I could hear that loud and clear, and I even had the windows down.
The producer screaming?
Oh, yeah.
Excellent. Fantastic. Thank you, my friend.
Hey, one more thing, man.
Yes, sir.
The only two words to explain that interview, goddamn. Best show ever.
There you go. Thank you. Let's just...
You can catch more Holly on Saving Grace, which is going to premiere Monday, June 23rd at 10 p.m. Eastern on TNT. All right, folks, that's all the buzz we have for you today. Make sure to check us out on demand at the Arts and Entertainment section of NBCNews.com.
That's wonderful. It's like someone's being beaten in the next room. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Is it live or is it Memorex? Welcome to the world of reporters who've never done a live shot.
Yes, no, and maybe she's done voiceover work or something, or she's...
Oh, yeah.
She's done a tag for a commercial, or she's done, yes, a scripted and prepared interview where they can then edit it down and make her look decent. But and the thing is, it's a four-minute interview that needs to be about 30 seconds long.
Oh, and you know, there's just no way you can ever recover from misidentifying your network.
No.
Yes. Good luck job hunting for her.
Thank you. Bye now. All right, ladies and gentlemen at the Ministry of Truth, let's pay a visit to your friend, Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
An ABC station and an independent station's helicopters collided while chasing a high-speed pursuit this afternoon. Both exploded into a ball of flames. This happened in Phoenix. And the Fox 10 Phoenix helicopter was not involved. He was also covering it at the time. And it does not play. Well, hang on. Let me try this. Is my pot up?
Way with trying to find the vehicle. And I saw both those aircraft come together and then just... an explosion, a ball of fire, both of them falling. I heard the screaming on the air-to-air frequency.
All right.
Okay.
Well, we talk about Zsa Zsa Gabor's husband, shall we?
That's where we need that. Whatever happened to that Zen music? I have some sort of soothing music that I downloaded that we were going to use to... Thank you. What? That was... did you have that just ready?
It's true.
That's pretty creepy, actually, that you had that ready to use.
Recognize it now?
It's the haiku music, is it not?
It is.
All right. Oh no, here we go. Here's the Zen music.
Ooh, I like this.
Oh, I like this too.
This is like the music that plays when you're getting a massage. Like you're in there, and the massage therapist is like, now I'm going to move down to your delts.
Or a colon cleansing.
Any sort of new age, like body therapy place, this is the music they're playing. You just let me know if you need this to be more firm. Here's Tim Riley.
So anyway, I had something here. The police chief tells us what happened on the ground below.
We did have two local media helicopters crash. It appears to be, from what I'm hearing, a mid-air collision. They were following a car chase. They were at the end of that car chase, it sounds like. They did crash over one of our central Phoenix parks.
So this happened in Phoenix. Now, Frederick Van Unhant, who is married to Zsa Zsa Gabor and claimed to be the father of Anna Nicole Smith's baby, is now claiming he was robbed and left naked in his car in Bel Air.
Excellent.
Van Unhant said that the three women approached him and asked him to take a picture with him. Then one of them pulled out a gun.
And then she said, take off your clothes and everything. So I took everything off. She grabbed it. She took the key out of the car. And so in water, I couldn't follow or whatever. And that was it.
I have no idea what he's saying at all.
Closed, so I had no electricity, nothing. I had no water. I had no clothes. I didn't even have the plastic bag to cover myself.
What a sight that must be.
A plastic bag to cover myself. Why would his mind immediately go to plastic bag? Why is
that
the thing he
always
long...
carried one around just in case he needed one?
I suppose. All right.
Let's see. And he had $1,800 in cash on him.
Yeah, boo-hoo.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Rick, I can't watch that video from work, but the audio itself was beautiful. We'll play it one more time. Somebody was complaining that I stopped it too much. I just had to point out all the glory of it. Oh, we'll play it again here maybe next hour. He says, I can't watch the video from work, but the audio itself was beautiful. I kept waiting for the interview lady to ask, if you were starving and you were a hot dog, would you eat yourself? Yeah, that really is. They had to show that to every single person who is in broadcasting or journalism school as sort of a what not to do when conducting your interview, sort of a primer, as they say. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Here's Tim Riley.
The Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services is warning people to get treatment if you've been bitten by a bat. This warning comes after a Franklin County girl was bitten by a rabid bat. Dr. Howard Pugh, the state's public health veterinarian, says if you're bitten by a bat, try to catch the bat and take it with you so it, too, can be tested for rabies.
If the bat then turned out to be a rabid bat, the person did not contact a physician, did not seek treatment, then certainly the person could die from rabies.
Okay.
Now we have Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez avoiding controversy today during a brief visit to Indianapolis, where he spoke to prosecutors and other law enforcement officials about ways to prevent child exploitation. He was quickly escorted in and out of this morning's meeting. He urged attendees to work hard to prevent sex crimes.
My hope is that our efforts in prevention will mean that those of us in law enforcement meet fewer and fewer young victims of the terrible crimes that we read about and see about every day.
If you do a crime, you're going to do the time in a chicken suit. That's a tough lesson three Ohio men are learning the hard way from a judge known for his unusual sentences. The three men convicted of soliciting prostitutes in Plainsville are being ordered to spend an hour dressed like a chicken. Judge Michael Consonetti issued the sentence, and it's scheduled to be fulfilled today in a busy street corner. The judge gave the trio the option of 20 days behind bars or dressing up like a chicken. Maybe they should do that in Milwaukee. Then there's this. A 33-year-old mother was banned from a Brevard County Walmart and will face a judge after police say she used her three children to help bag over $300 in stolen merchandise. This happened in the self-checkout lane. Avenida Cherry was charged with retail grand theft over the weekend after Palm Beach police were called to the Walmart to investigate a complaint from the assistant manager. Palm Beach police report the store's loss prevention officers spotted Miss Cherry and her children ages 6, 12, and 15 in line at the self-service checkout, bagging items that were passed across the conveyor belt without being rung up. The children assisted their mother in stuffing the unidentified items into white shopping bags.
Okay, now help mommy shoplift.
Miss Cherry paid $113 in goods, but had a total of $400 worth of stolen merchandise in her cart. She was stopped while a male companion accompanying her and bolted out the door. The three children were turned over to her grandmother. Now, Miss Cherry was able to keep the items she paid for, but had to sign an affidavit not to ever enter Walmart again.
Done.
That's again. Then she was arrested.
All right.
And sent to jail.
Rick, I watched a preliminary newscast on ABC 15's website, and though they didn't show any of the crash footage, you get the overwhelming sensation that they really want to. Both newscasters acknowledge that this is horrible, and it is, but we all know it's inevitable that they will show it. You might check out their website or check their 5 o'clock newscast. It might be there. Yeah, you know that they'll eventually break down and show it. Because you know that that's everybody. As everybody always says, we are just the human id here. We only speak aloud what everyone is thinking.
They'll just cancel Dirty Dining for tonight.
Let's see. Rick, if you're going to England, you also need to see the Houses of Parliament, the London Eye, and a Chelsea football match. I have no... Really? Is it going to cost me $600 to go to Loch Ness from London?
No. Who told you that?
They're lying
to you.
How much?
He is British. He says, do you wish to go to Loch Ness from London? For a mere $600, you can go direct from London's King's Cross Railway. I thought that was only a thing that happened in Harry Potter novels. I didn't know King's Cross was a real place. London's King's Cross Rail Station to Scotland. Oh, it's a three-day tour.
We have some devastating news to report. We've been following a breaking news story this morning about a low-speed police chase. Apparently, our helicopter and 3TV's helicopter have crashed while covering this. Right now, we do not know the conditions of either pilot. And, of course, we are concerned for our pilot. We're concerned for Channel 3's pilot and anyone who may have been on the ground. We don't know the details yet as far as conditions are concerned. But
Let's get our viewers up to speed about how all this transpired.
Right. If you've been watching ABC 15 over the last few minutes, we cut into programming to let you know that Phoenix police were chasing someone in a work truck. It looked like an exterminator's vehicle along...
Happening.
We have some devastating news to report. We've been following...
Okay. With more, here's Holly Hunter. Hi.
This morning.
You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, hi. You guys are just, it's Harold here. You had mentioned a little while ago about the Zen music, and Sarah had mentioned about a particular type of cleansing, and I have been considering getting one. My wife insists that it's going to hurt, and I don't know if it will.
The Zen music?
Not a joke call.
What is it? What's, hold on.
The colon cleansing.
Colon cleansing.
Oh, okay. I didn't know what you're talking about.
You know, and I'm just curious what... how they do it, and does it hurt, and all that kind of thing.
I think you know how they do it.
A random show today.
Well, okay,
don't pretend you don't know how they clean your colon.
Does it hurt?
No, it's uncomfortable.
Like a running man.
It's uncomfortable at the beginning, and then it's okay. It feels like you have a stomach ache.
How did you feel afterwards?
Awesome.
Was it a lot easier to feel better?
Yeah, Sarah's the one to ask. Sarah had it done twice, didn't you?
No, it was once, but it's a two-part thing.
I don't remember it being a two-part thing. I only went for the first part, I guess. Maybe that's why
really
I didn't enjoy it, because I only went for the first part.
Yeah, because you're supposed to go for the first part and then the next day.
Oh, I didn't do that. It's like, how do I describe it? I don't even know how to describe it.
Trying to become healthier, if you know what I mean. They say that you have all this stuff in there, these holistic doctors, so you've got pounds and pounds of junk in there, and I think it might be
junk, your car keys and some D-cell batteries. It's like if you've ever had a sinus infection and they give you that saline water to squirt into your nose.
No, I heard that on your show a while back. I'm not going to do that. It's been horrible.
Well, then if you're not going to squirt saline water into your nose, then you might not want to do the colon. Think that same process, but lower and harder.
All right. I'm out of it.
Thank you.
Bye now.
All right. I don't want to mislead him.
I think he should do it.
I'm not saying he shouldn't do it. I did it and it had no ill effects, but I don't want to mislead him about it and have him in there cursing me while he's having his colon cleansed. That's something you don't want. You know, when someone having their colon assaulted, damn you, Rick Emerson. This is a question. Did they even catch the speeding guy? Did they even catch the guy in the truck, or did he just get away? Jesus. All right. Let's see. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
You know, Rick, you just asked the question that I was going to ask. You know, I'm just wondering if in the confusion of the helicopter exploding, if the perpetrator was able to get away.
Yeah, because you know that the cops probably heard the explosion and, you know, turned around and went back. And so the guy who was, and of course, it goes without saying that without the helicopters there, there was nobody to track where the guy was. So the guy, it seems likely that the guy probably got away.
Yeah, the guys in those cars or whoever it was probably thinking this is my lucky day.
You know, and Sarah has already noted that the same thing I thought. I'm amazed that this doesn't happen more often, because you'll get some, whenever there's a bunch of helicopters in a place, by definition, they are all shooting the same thing, which means that they have to be in the same general area, like when they're shooting the critical mass guys or some war march or whatever it is, and those blades go out a long distance. And nobody's paying attention to anything. And I mean, just it's astounding that this doesn't happen all the time. Although now that I think about it, helicopters do seem to crash with alarming frequency, just not into each other. So
yeah. You know, I was having sort of iffy day at work today, and then when I heard that, I was like, you know, my day is really not that bad.
Yeah, seriously, this has set the bar, and you're also not Mary Miller trying to interview Holly Hunter.
Exactly.
All
Thanks,
right.
Rick.
Thank you. Bye. All right, there you go. All right. All right. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. And let me just...
Welcome back to What's the Buzz? You may know her as Academy Award-winning actress, but
Academy.
Today she's here to talk about a new project on the small screen. We're talking about the talented Holly Hunter in her new TV drama series called Saving Grace. Holly, thanks so much for joining us.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Holly, thanks so much for joining us. Oh. Okay, we love the show. So tell us, what drew you to this character that you play, Grace?
I'm sorry?
What drew you to this character, Grace?
Well, you know, I read the script. It came to me a few months ago with an offer, and I got about to page six, and I called my agent and said, look, if this keeps up, I can't say no to this woman. I can't have anybody else do her but me.
All right. It's 503-733. We'll play the whole thing next hour. 503. No, I have to play it one more time. Like everything we do, we have to burn it out as fast as possible. Just do it over and over and over again. So it, the faster, you know, the faster we burn it out, the faster it becomes part of the Rick Emerson canon. You know what I mean? The more you play something, the faster people just learn to love it as one of the hallmarks of the program. Isn't that right, Scotty?
Goddamn.
All right. It's 503-733-2970. So where are we at break-wise?
We should probably take one.
All right. Then let's end with this call. We'll just take us over the bed. Hello, sir.
Rick.
Hi.
Just some observations on the interview. She must have done some time on the casting couch to interview. That's all I can think of, because otherwise, why would she be there? And her career could absolutely gain no purchase on Holly Hunter's ground, definitely.
Okay. Wait,
secondly.
You peaked with that, but okay.
I haven't peaked yet. Play that guy that the producer's scream next to the Wilhelm scream, side by side, amplify and isolate, and you'll see that there's one and the same.
No, you peaked.
Yeah, you peaked. No, I'm sorry.
And the other guy was Robin Williams, the guy that got robbed of his clothes.
What?
Robin Williams.
Sorry. Back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Hey, it's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Here in just a skosh, we'll welcome Aaron Geek in the city of Duran. We'll have more from Tim Riley, more of your phone calls, the top five. Like us with Flash Friday at 3 o'clock, Donna Mike at 7, and so forth. I was going to say a brief hello to friend Leo. Hi, Leo. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing very well, Rick. Thank you.
Do you live in Colorado?
I do live in Colorado.
Now, are you from
Pueblo,
Portland,
Colorado? No.
80119.
No, I'm Northern Colorado. That would be South Central Colorado.
I got to put down this. I got to put down this Mad magazine that you brought me. This is fantastic. So
you also brought SkyMall.
Oh, that's so great.
And Viso.
Well,
hey, brought nothing for Scotty.
No, well, I thought nothing Scotty could have a second crack at the Viso after Sarah was done.
I'll run across
through
the
them.
Screen and get him some cigarettes.
Oh yes, I left those in the car.
So now, is it your birthday? Was it your birthday?
It was, and my wife, bless her heart.
Now this is his wife. His wife had emailed me. And she's like, so it's my, I think she actually referred to you as her old man. But she's like, yeah, it's my husband's birthday, and he's going to be coming through town, and you know, whatever. And so, but anyway,
it's a distinct impression of her, really.
I said, no. I said, have him come by. I said, have him come by the studio, and we'll say howdy, and we'll say whatnot. So, but it's because you listen to us. Now, are you from Portland originally?
I actually grew up outside of Malala.
Okay.
That's so scary.
So you were a listener here, and then you just sort of took the program with you.
That's correct.
Excellent. Like a missionary.
Well, and I had moved into, I lost the program at one point in time. I think when you were on a national, when you did the national out of here, I listened to you because you were.
You're the only one.
You were up against Lycus.
Since I was up against, like people counting socks.
Well,
people watching paint dry.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so, anyway, so you brought two copies of the SkyMall catalog. Which is great because it's just this is going to occupy my entire weekend. I'm just looking through this.
Well, I noticed it has the Rat Zapper.
I was just looking at the Rat Zapper myself. That's exactly what I was looking at.
Stop doing this. Stop doing this because it's very bad. It delivers a quick dead shock to mice and rats and other unwanted rodents. That's humanely wonderful. Exterminated them. And the catchphrase is here. Never touch a dead rodent again.
And I have been doing that constantly.
It only
so
takes four AA batteries.
That's how Kiki and I entertain ourselves on the plane.
And it's up to 10 rodents.
We'd read the description of a product and then try and guess what it was.
Money back if not the
okay, can I just tell you the best thing they sell here in the SkyMall catalog?
The hot dog cooker.
Ratatouille.
I don't even know what we're talking about now.
Talking
no, it's they've got this. This is a, it's not a CD-ROM drive for your computer. It's not a DVD drive. It's a cassette drive. It goes into your computer tower, and it is a cassette drive. So you can, it's a drive that goes into your computer, your hard drive, and you can put cassettes in there so you can convert your old cassettes to MP3s.
I thought that
it's
was
genius.
Cool, too.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Because I've got a pile. I've got, like, you know, terrible, terrible things that they never put out on CD.
Yeah, you and me both, and mixtapes and stuff.
Oh, like I have The Return of Bruno from Bruce Willis on
CD. No. Is that not on CD? That's got to be on CD.
Why would you put it on CD?
why would you make that record at all, really, I think is the question. Yeah. And then he brought me Leo brought me a copy of Mad Magazine, January 76, issue 180, which is where they satirize Jaws and several other films. And, of course, because of my whole thing about getting my Mad Magazines taken away from me by my landlord and blah, 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 this is the way to my heart, well, is a Mad Magazine.
Well, wonderful. Well, I'm glad you, I could get close to your heart.
Excellent. Fantastic. Hey, what size shirt wear ye?
I am a round boy, so it is a 3X.
You know, I'm not. I'll just be upfront with you, my friend. I don't know that we have that size, but I'll tell you what. We'll have Scott. Can you do me a favor? Can you just pop up with the promo people and see if we've got something like that? If not, we'll give you a sticker and you can just wear that.
Well,
put it on your man chest.
There we are.
All right, excellent. All right, well, let's just get a couple of these couple of these calls. Then we'll welcome Aaron Geek.
You really
in the
don't
city
know what the hot dog cooker is?
I don't know what the hot
it's
dog
a toaster
is.
And it has two holes for hot dogs and then it has two separate holes for the bun.
I have seen that. No.
I've totally seen
that. Oh, I'm looking at the Mad Magazine again. Hello, sir.
Hello. How's it going?
What's up?
Hey, I wonder if Scotty knows that they have shows completely dedicated to explosions and crashes and...
Yeah, well, and frankly, and maybe it's just that Scotty hasn't worked in the media long enough. We're talking about these two news copters hitting each other in Phoenix. Scotty, they wouldn't show that on television. That would be in poor taste.
They'll definitely show it.
Seriously. I mean, someday, if I had enough venture capital, you want to talk about things that you would do if only you had the money, I would just love to launch something just called the Violent Channel, and it would just be nothing but people punching other people, people being set on fire, bulls goring people, cars exploding, sharks killing things. I mean, and that show would get like a 50 share all the time, constantly, day and night. So
we don't get tired of it.
No, we don't. I mean, we don't have the Violent Channel yet. All we have is Fox News and Cops. But, I mean, we will get there, sir.
All right. Okay.
Thank you. Hey, look at this thing here. Now, I don't really need this because I got this money clip. But they got this. It's a little, it looks like the clippy part of a seatbelt, but it holds all your credit cards. And then on the top is a button for each credit card. You press the button and it pops out that credit card.
That seems too complicated to work well.
I know, but it's cool. The thing about the SkyMail catalog is when none of this stuff really holds up under scrutiny. When you look at the stuff in the SkyMail catalog, like, there's something about the airplane where when you're in the airplane, it all seems to make a lot of sense. I think there's something that they pump into the cabin of the airplane, because when you're on the plane itself and you're reading this catalog, all of these products seems like something, they all seem like something you really need. And then later when you're out just breathing like the normal air, you look at it and you realize that you'd have to be retarded to buy all of these things. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, is Leo still there?
Leo is still here, sir.
Hey, Leo.
Yes, sir.
Apparently, there's taking calls for you now, Leo.
I'm thrilled.
Leo's answering service. How can I help you?
Wonderful.
This is Mr. Lyons.
Oh, my God. Who are you? Oh, John. Jeez. Hi.
What is this?
Hey, like? Thanks for calling. Let me know you're in town, ass.
I'm in for 3 days. I'm out for 3 days.
This
I'm sorry.
Is your life, Leo. Don't mind me. I'm just reading the SkyMall catalog over here.
Hey, I am a listener to the show, and I was like, man, that guy's voice sounds really familiar.
Let me understand this. So Leo's in town, and rather than contacting you, he comes on this program, but it's okay because you were listening anyway.
Well, John, what would you rather do? Hi.
Drink.
Oh.
Okay.
Right on, brother.
Thanks, John. We have to go now.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, there's a Harry Potter chess set.
Oh.
How much is this? Hey, it's only $498.
Jeez.
All right, fantastic. All right, Leo, my friend, thank you so much for listening. Are you spreading the word to your Colorado brethren?
I have gotten two or three people hooked thus far, and hopefully I will
Excellent.
Be able to continue.
Well, enjoy Portland while you're here back again. Travel safe, and thanks to your wife as well for...
I thank her very, very much.
Excellent. Thank you, Leo, my friend. Appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Sir.
Thanks for listening. All right, there you go. There's Leo. Let's now welcome to the... where's my geek
Bye,
son? Bye, Leo. Let's see.
Help me. Like you did by the lake on Naboo.
Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from geekandthecity.com, our good friend.
A very svelte-looking Aaron.
Hello.
Now, have you been losing? Have you lost weight? I see Aaron,
oh,
I think.
Oh, God. God, son of a...
Sorry? Just didn't mean to... I pricked some sort of anger balloon? I didn't mean to... I'm sorry, that was a loud snort.
Anger bone? Is that your new metal band? Hello, we are Anger Bone.
Have you
Yeah, I've lost like 15 pounds. Thank you.
Yeah, I didn't realize that.
Seriously. So how are you doing that?
You're trying to make me make this just stupid joke, huh? It's not a joke. It's true. I cut whitey out of my diet, basically. Cut everything white out of my diet, which I know sounds weird.
White bread, white rice.
Yeah, like refined sugars, all that stuff. Oh, no, the white wine stays.
Fantastic. All right, let's finish out this bank of calls here. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick.
Hi.
You know, you guys were talking about that that tape recorder that plugs into your computer.
It's a cassette drive for your computer. It's the best device ever, yeah.
My wife, for my birthday, got me from Costco one even better. It was a turntable that plugged in, and all your albums could go to MP3.
No, that's actually, that product is on the, not only does Aaron own that, right, don't you?
I love it. It's fantastic.
That product is on the cover of Sky Mall. If you get this month's Sky Mall, that product, sir, is on the cover, so you are on the cutting edge.
I love
Sky Mall. You know, I was gonna renew my subscription to Sky Mall, but now
you get the Sky, hold on. You get the Sky Mall catalog at home?
No.
Are you just screwing with me? Yes. You do.
You know, I wonder if you could, though. I wonder if you could subscribe to it and just have it, you know.
Oh, sure. No,
isn't that
totally
the purpose
can.
Of Sky Mall, though?
No, but I mean, you could probably.
Well,
but I'm
be,
sure you,
know, you
could get it. I'm sure they'd send it to you.
Their mall.
I mean, if they thought they were going to be able to make money off of you. So, yeah, absolutely. Hey, a flying alarm clock. All right, I got to put this down. Thank you.
Have you seen the alarm clock that runs away from you?
No.
If you hit the snooze alarm, it then takes off and runs away and goes off 3 minutes later.
There should be one that if you hit the snooze alarm, it just does something like it does something horrible. It attacks you somehow.
I've also seen one I want to order that it's like a it's a bomb you have to defuse. But every day, because it's a series of wires and buttons
right.
you have to push to shut it off. Every day it randomizes and resets its code.
There ought to be okay for the true nerds. There ought to be an alarm clock that's a Rubik's cube.
I think there is.
And then it goes up.
And you have to solve the whole thing?
Yeah, and you totally got to solve it.
I still can't solve it.
I can't. I am 30. When did the Rubik's Cube come out? Like 82?
Jen got one of the first ones where you had to order them directly, and it came in a plain cardboard box.
The Rubik's Cube invented by?
Mr. Rubik's. I don't know.
Erno Rubik.
So I was right.
Yes. Do you remember the Rubik's Snake?
Yes,
there
I had
the
one.
Rubik's Snake. There was the Rubik's Lynx. There was the Super Cube.
They
had
did
like
the Rubik's Dodecahedron also.
Nerd. Dodecahedron.
That's it.
I forgot it was Friday.
I'm wearing a dodecahedron on my chest.
Welcome to your living hell, Sarah. Let's see. We can play the Holly Hunter interview again. This will seem glorious.
Okay, keep talking about dodecahedrons.
Yeah. Or you can keep talking in your weird butch voice from this afternoon.
What?
What?
Nothing.
What are you talking about? No, you got to explain what you're talking
about. I
don't
know what you're talking about.
When as soon as I came in, she's like, hi, Aaron.
I don't know.
You weren't there.
Hallucinating. Okay. Let's just take some more calls, shall we? It is a weird day. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
I said a butch.
Hey, Rick.
Yeah. Hi.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, I was listening to your...
I don't even know what you're talking about.
I don't know.
Remember when you were all diesel today, Sarah?
Shut up, let me read the Sky Mall.
All right, what's up, sir?
Hey, I've been listening for a long time.
Thank you.
I call in quite a bit. And I've never heard your little Mad Magazine sob story there before.
All right, Aaron, do you know it well enough? I don't want to repeat it again, because then I'm just a guy telling the same dumb story for the 50th.
Yeah, I know the story.
Go ahead and tell the story.
With the one where they all got stolen instead of... Oh, they got used instead of rent.
Yeah, I was stuck out of town in a blizzard.
You couldn't get home. This is when you lived in Spokane?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Rick couldn't get home one night because of the blizzard.
It was like 9 days.
Yeah, and his rent was late, and the landlord busted into his apartment, and instead of collecting money, he just saw case upon case of Mad Magazines and thought, these'll do.
And yeah, he just took my Mad Magazine collection, and in lieu of rent, and this was, of course, before the net, before whatever, I didn't have any credit cards, I couldn't pay him remotely, and I was like 18, maybe 19, no money, couldn't afford any, and this apartment was like $170 a month. It was basically a flop house. It was all I could afford, and I was so terrified that he would evict me that I didn't sue him or go to court about it or anything. So to this day, there's some fat bastard and he looked just like Mario from the Super Mario Brothers game. Dick, and he has my Mad Magazine collection to this day. I'm still angry about it.
Here we go!
Yeah. And you didn't get any of them back?
No, I didn't. No, I was just, I was so young, and I was constantly fearing that I would be evicted, because I was only working in radio, and I made almost no money, and blah, 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 you know, the whole radio thing. The same sob story everybody has. But I was just so afraid that he would evict me that I never challenged him on it because I was afraid he would kick me out and I couldn't afford to live anywhere else. So
what years were these?
You mean what year of Mad Magazine?
Yeah, what did you call it?
Well, the kicking out would have happened, the seizure would have happened in about 91, but I had Mad Magazines going all the way back to, I kept the bulk of my first couple years in a safe deposit box, but this would have been from, I don't know, like 57 on.
Wow.
Yes, that's what I said too. I put it exactly that way. Well, they're gone. Yeah, so no, it was it wasn't complete, but it was a nearly complete collection from the very beginning.
Well, I I've got a big box of Mad magazines in my garage that I have no place for. And I mean, I love Mad magazine, but they're not a passion of mine. They're yours if you like them.
Oh, I couldn't possibly.
No,
I'd have
really,
to buy them, but I couldn't do that.
No, no, really. And
maybe you could trade them for baked goods.
But that
First of all, let me say that's amazingly generous. I mean, I would feel bad. And then we'll have to move this conversation off the air. We'll have to talk about it. I would feel bad just taking those from you.
Sitting there, and they're taking up space. And I've been thinking, yeah, I should get rid of these, sell them on eBay, something. Then, you know, I heard you say that. I've been listening for years, and I always appreciate everything you've done for the listeners. And I followed you from station to station. And this is just a listener giving back. How about that?
Well, now I'm going to cry. Okay, well, do me a favor. I'm gonna put you on hold. Scotty will get your name and your phone number. And I don't know. We'll talk later. We'll figure something out.
All right.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
You bet.
All right,
sure.
There you go. Scotty, if you can get 9-2 there. Well, that's really cool.
How exciting.
That is pretty cool.
I mean, I just... Part of me, can I just say, is my stupid white liberal guilt thing. Part of me just feels like when you get a phone call like that and you just kind of feel like a jerk, because a guy's like offering to give me some Mad magazines for really doing nothing but sitting here and just running my gums for a couple hours a day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like and it's already a crime that I get paid to do that.
So you're gonna take them?
No, don't get me wrong. I'll take them. Don't get me wrong.
This isn't what Harry Potter's wand looks like.
Hi, how you doing?
Oh.
Hey, the guy has a zombie question. Hi, sir, you have a zombie question.
Two things. Aaron, it's fortuitous that you're on the show because my zombie-slaying girlfriend is jacked that Black Sheep is playing at the Hollywood Theater this weekend.
That's right. It's going to be a fantastic
show. Black Sheep
show.
With Chris Farley?
No, different Black Sheep.
Fantastic.
Yes, it's different Black Sheep. Yes. It's a mutant killer zombie sheep movie from New Zealand.
I'm just going to sit over here and read my Mad magazine. You go ahead.
Yeah, it's very good. No, but it's the same guy. It's from the Weta Workshop, the guys that did Lord of the Rings. So it's going to be all sorts of interesting.
Well, no, now, Peter Jackson's not doing a zombie sheep movie.
Well, no,
but, yeah.
No, he's not. The Creature Workshop is.
What's the movie? I don't know.
So the premise is that a bunch of genetically altered sheep just go insane in New Zealand and just kill everything that moves.
Yeah, and then there's a whole raft of people that are like, you know, turning into half zombie, you know, half human, half sheep hybrids, and just it's gonna be all sorts of wacky.
It's got the best tagline ever though. It's like New Zealand population 4 million, 20 million sheep. The reckoning has come.
That's
very
funny.
True. And my girlfriend, who thinks of nothing better than to go to the mall and drop $10 in House of the Dead and shoot zombies all afternoon.
That's hot.
She,
yeah.
is so
psyched
for this.
That's Sarah's favorite shooter game. I've got footage of her playing House
Big
of the Dead.
Big Buck Hunter?
Yep.
That's my favorite.
I'm sorry?
No, she... And as a matter of fact, she's
Big
actually...
Buck.
No,
Big
Buck
Hunter.
She's
you can play that at
Lord's
Sir Mix-a-Lot game.
No, get this. My girlfriend is ditching her family early from Eastern Washington, which is where she's going to be tomorrow, to actually come here to see Black.
Excellent. Hold on to that
Hang
woman.
On to her, dude.
Yeah, don't let that woman go. Cut off her legs if you have to.
For dear life, don't let her go.
Keep her in a box under the bed.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah.
I hate that you and
Bam.
I share the same mind.
Thank you, sir.
Great. Boxing Laura. Outstanding.
Okay, bye.
What did you say?
Keep her in a box under the bed?
You know, Boxing Helena.
Oh, I was thinking Mrs. Peacock in the X-Files.
Is that Sherilyn Fenn? That's not Sherilyn Fenn. Who is the woman
it
in Boxing Helena?
Is it? I believe
she's
so.
She's hot as balls. The that boxing. Have you seen Boxing Helena?
Oh, yeah.
That's David Lynch's daughter who made that. Jessica Lynch.
Yeah, I've never seen
Jessica
it.
Lynch. She's the Iraq woman.
Jessica Lynch.
What is her daughter's?
I think her name is
Kelly Lynch.
Is it Kelly?
I think it's Kelly. Jessica Lynch is the...
She also wrote The Diary of Laura Palmer.
She's
really?
Also known as the Talented Lynch.
I didn't...
Oh.
That hurts.
Here's what we got to get done.
Yeah, it's all porny.
Do you want to... You mean in here? It's all porny in here. Can someone open a window?
No,
do you
remember the...
Boxing Helena?
No. The Secret Diary of Laura Palmer.
Oh, it too. I hope Bob doesn't come tonight.
Oh. And then with the lesbian scenes and all that.
Come on, give me a little credit for knowing a line out of there, for being able to quote a little line out of the Laura Palmer diary.
It's because it's porny, not because it's Laura Palmer.
I also read the Diary of Agent Cooper. Which is pretty hilarious. I read them both, even though I wasn't a fan of the show, because those books were really well done. Here's what we got, Sarah.
Yes,
here's
sir.
What we've got. We've got phone calls. We've got Aaron's review of The Simpsons. Tim and the top five. What say ye?
Let's break Tim, Aaron,
top five.
Okay,
break.
Hold on. I'm going to write it down. Break. Tim. Aaron. Top five?
Mm-hmm. Top well, we'll five. Try. But you guys will start geeking out about The Simpsons and we'll never get
well,
to it.
Well, we're going to try to hold it. Scotty went out of his way to create a weekend-oriented top five. So we really ought to try to get to it. All right. Back after this with Tim Riley, then Aaron's review of The Simpsons film, and we'll do the top five weekend songs. We'll try to get to these calls as well. It's The Rick Emerson Show. You stay there. Let's not mention that. Hi, it's the Rick Emerson radio program. Coming up, Aaron Duran gives his review of The Simpsons movie. And we'll count down Scotty J's top five weekend songs. Like us at 3 with a Flash Friday. Don and Mike at 7. Don't forget tomorrow, Car and Driver Radio Live, followed by Dennis Pitsenbarger with Miles Around, our local auto show, 9 to 11 a.m. Ladies and gentle folks at the Ministry of Truth, it's Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
An Auburn, Washington dentist is being sued by his assistant for a pranky bull daughter while she was being sedated during oral surgery. Dr. Robert Wu put fake
Woo!
Boar... He put fake boar tusks in the woman's mouth.
What? I never expected it to go that way.
Dr. Wu put fake boar tusks in the woman's mouth while she was under and took pictures.
I want to see the pictures now. Now! Are they on the... Please tell me they're on the internet.
It doesn't say. You're going to have to go look for them yourself.
Hold on. What's his name?
Wu. Dr. Robert Wu.
Who?
W-O-O. Woo.
Who?
Woo.
Who?
Woo-hoo.
I'm sorry. Robert Wu.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Fantastic. Dentist. Just Googling now.
All right. Now we're accepting patients.
Don't forget boar.
Let's see. Images.
Boar tusks.
Mm.
Or perhaps a fake boar
Where
tusks.
Did he even get boar tusks?
Well, they're fake boar tusks, so they're probably easier to find. Perhaps in the sky mall.
I mean, how would they even fit inside of her mouth?
She was put under, so apparently he could manipulate
with woo glue
the shape of her mouth.
She'd had her jaw wired open or something.
Mm-hmm.
Because aren't boar tusks massive?
I've never seen them myself. So
all right, okay.
I can't attest to their size. Did you find it?
No.
Oh, are we waiting for you to find it?
No, we're not. They're not there.
There. Well, apparently
we can just play Holly Hunter again.
No, that was interesting. Michael Moore has been subpoenaed by the Bush administration. Apparently, the government hasn't taken too kindly to the director's trip to Cuba with the 9/11 rescue workers. Two pensioners who won $4 million in a lottery have revealed what they'll buy with it. They're going to buy some new knees. Tony and Greta Dodd both suffer from dodgy knees and are on the waiting list with the National Health Service in Britain for replacement knees. See, they have to wait for new knees in that country. That's because they have socialized medicine.
A creeping red menace.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. So they've now booked themselves into private knee operations. We're both ecstatic, said Tony. Yes, we've both been told that our new knees are on the way.
My wife went and saw that Michael Moore film last night. She saw a Sicko, and she knows I didn't want to see it. And
why not?
Because it would just make me angry. And, I mean, it's going to make me angry, and it's just going to confirm everything I already know to be the case. I mean, what is it going to tell me I don't already know? It's just going to confirm...
Everything's fine.
Yeah, I mean, all of my darkest suspicions about this country. And, of course, the best thing is she saw it with a foreigner. She saw it with somebody from Canada who just, of course, finds us to be retards and ludicrous and just has no idea why our country operates this way. And she said she was put in this rather awkward position of... Not like defending this, you know, the country's healthcare system as such, but sort of like trying to explain, like, we're not really dumb, like, we're kind of smart in America. And the friend's like, why do you have this stupid healthcare system? And I was like, I don't know. And, you know, and it's sort of like, it's like when you're trying to, you know, you're showing your dog to somebody or whatever, and the dog, like, whizzes on the carpet. You're like, no, he's normally well behaved. Oh, I'm sorry. You know, and so I just opted not to see that. I don't need to. Rick. About getting the SkyMall catalog at your home. Don't look now, but there's this thing called the internet. SkyMall.com. Yes, thank you, sir. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Now back to this sad tale earlier. Two news helicopters collided and crashed today while covering a police pursuit on live television. It happened when the two choppers got a little bit too close to each other and exploded into a ball of flames. People watching this on television didn't see anything because the cameras were pointed toward the ground. The first indication that there was trouble was when the images started breaking up. That's that. What are we waiting for?
That was that. Oh, I thought you meant that was that with that particular story.
No, he's out of paper.
I'm sorry.
I am out of paper.
PC load letter. All right, Jim, would you like to do the top five?
Would I?
All right.
That would give me greater pleasure.
Here's your top five for Friday.
Four,
I love this show.
3, 2, 1, fire.
Counting is wonderful. Counting is marvelous. Counting's the best thing to do. Counting is happiness. Counting is ecstasy. I love to count.
Don't you?
I bet these were chosen by Scotty.
How do you know?
Well, these kind of cater to a certain demographic.
What demographic is that, Tim?
The demographic that Scotty and I are in.
Would you like to clarify?
It's a little bit before Generation X and Y.
Well, Scotty's a little older than you.
Scotty
think.
Does have a very classic rock sensibility, but that's not really the word for it, because I have... unpleasant.
That is unpleasant.
Because I have a big I have a big taste for classic rock in some ways, but Scotty's is different than mine. I can't quite clarify what it is, but Scotty's classic rock taste is a little more specialized than mine. It is, I think, I only have a classic rock sensibility in as much as it's sort of classic hard rock, AC/DC, Aerosmith, so forth, whereas Scotty is big into, like, the Chicagos of the world, which is just not a thing I can...
He's a Midwest rocker.
Well, and I... Yes, totally. I can't talk more about this right now. There's just no time and there's no clarification, but we might be doing... Scotty might be doing something... how do I put this? There's a band that's going to be passing by here, and Scotty may be getting the chance to introduce them on stage. And
is this a well-known band?
Yes, it is. I can't see who it is right now.
The O'Neaters.
No, I can't clarify who it is. I can't elaborate. But it's kind of a classic rock band that Scotty is just made for. It is like it is a band that he just, it screams, Scotty J, come introduce us on stage. So I'll give you more details as we, anyway. These are the top five weekend songs as compiled by Scotty J.
With honorable mention from Chicago and Saturday in the Park.
See, this is totally what I'm talking about. This is completely a Scotty J band. Oh boy, I hate these guys. I hate this song so much. This band is fundamentally useless.
Air Chicago on AM 970.
Oh, look at that. You missed the post.
Barely. I'm a little out of practice.
You hit the French horn post.
Well, I was trying to hit the French horn.
Oh, look at you right there. The only... If it's not from a Karate Kid movie, it's a bad Chicago song. I don't know who listens to this music. I mean, it's one thing if it's like on the radio... And you're an invalid or something, and you can't change the dial. But who is it that goes to the store? Like, I have to own this song on CD, on pristine digital CD.
Brown people.
Wait, brown people?
Brown people.
Oh, round people. People.
See, I know of no brown person in
Chicago. I was just
going to
say, Aaron, your family, big Chicago listeners.
No.
All right.
We couldn't even find Chicago. We don't make it that far north.
That's Aaron who said that, by the way. I'll skip the Tom Potter joke. Oh, I hate this band. All right, these are Scotty J's top five weekend songs.
And number five, it's Loverboy, Working for the Weekend.
Of course. I've run out of observations about this song and this band. I don't even think I have anything left to
Chris
say.
Chris Farley ruined this song.
Yeah, no, that's true.
That's it.
No, I mean... fair enough.
They used to play
See?
This.
I'm sorry, Tim?
Uncle Joe Benson used to play this every Friday at 5 on the Mighty Met.
The Mighty Met. You talking about KMET?
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
I thought that this would have been after KMET's time. When did KMET go off the air?
Oh, they were around.
to the 90s, I believe.
No, yeah. No, you lied, Tim Riley.
No, late 80s, at least at late
80s. KMET had to have been gone by the 90s. Yeah. Hey, speaking of which, remind me, let me write that down for next week. I have a KMET question from a listener for us.
Oh.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I close my eyes, I try to get some different image, but all it is Patrick Swayze and Chris Farley.
Yep, flop it in the wind.
Scotty has seen Loverboy in concert 3 different times.
Of course he has.
Scotty, please come to the studio. What is this instrument? Is this a keyboard?
This sounds like a guitar.
Yeah, this is one of those rock songs that has no guitar. There's no guitar here except on the solo right here.
Although Sarah and I are both bopping away.
It's a well-done song. I just can't enjoy it anymore. You know, here's another rock song that has no guitar. The next time you hear Cradle of Love by Billy Idol, try to discern what the lead instrument in Cradle of Love is. It's impossible to figure out. You cannot tell what the lead instrument in Cradle of Love is. What is this instrument?
Everything came off a synth, though, then, in that era. I mean, that was it.
Scotty, you've seen Loverboy 3 times?
Yes.
I mean, like, intentionally?
Oh, yeah.
Why?
I saw him, like, in the park in Beaverton.
They were just standing there, waiting, trying to get Max
and
money.
It is a synthesizer. Absolutely.
Pleased to be spelling synthesizer.
Okay.
S-Y-N-T-H. Scotty is clenching his jaw.
And
it's like he's about to pass a bowling ball.
E?
All right, here's Tim Riley. No. All right.
And number 4 is Elton John, and Saturday Night's All Right for Play.
You can't say anything bad about this song. This is a great song. A couple weeks ago, we were talking about our love for Elton John.
The only thing, bad thing about this song is it reminds you what Elton John used to be like.
You know, Elton John still does great songs. Sarah and I were just talking about that.
Really?
Elton John still does. I mean, not as often as he used to. His days of having a different hit every month are behind him. But, I mean, Christ, man, that guy had like 85 top 10 singles. He has 4, I think, greatest hits albums, deservedly so. And he still writes great songs. I mean, you know, just within the last few years, I mean, you know, he writes a lot of crap with Tim Rice and for Disney films and whatever, but I mean, Elton John has nobody, left to prove anything to. He has nothing left to prove. Anybody that doesn't like Elton John, they can eat it, is what they can do.
I always wonder how these guys who have a million songs, when they're in concert, how they can remember all the words and playing the piano and doing all the
teleprompter.
A million songs.
Well, you know what I wonder is, a guy like Elton John, I wonder how he determines his set list, you know? Because the weird thing is, when you see a guy like Elton John in concert, the more successful a band becomes, in a way, the less interesting their concerts are, because the more songs they have to play. It's like when you see Aerosmith. The more successful you are and the more hit singles you have, the less interesting your concerts become, because the more mandatory songs there are, the more obligatory songs. Like you see, you know, Aerosmith, you know that there's like 15 songs they have to play.
Well, a classic example is I just went to the Rush concert last weekend and they played for 3 hours straight, and a lot of it was the, you know, old music from way back.
Why do you, when they played Tom Sawyer, please tell me you took that moment to go to the beer garden.
I think I texted.
I'm playing Tom Sawyer.
I texted you.
OMG, ZLOL1.
You could be here.
LOL. All right, here's Tim Riley with the counting on the top 5 weekend songs.
At number 3, Me First and the Gimme Gimmes with Saturday Morning Coming Down.
I'll cover the Kris Kristofferson classic made famous by Johnny Cash.
Scotty, this is so hip.
See, I was just going to say that. I'm with you, kids.
Did you pick this, Rick?
I picked this. I gave this to him.
I was actually really impressed.
It's really hip.
Never heard it before, but I like it.
You've never heard Sunday Morning Coming Down?
Nope.
Here's Tim Riley.
And number 2, The Cure with Friday I'm in Love.
How great is this song?
Good song. Did you pick this one, Scotty?
Yes. Sort of.
No, you didn't.
That's a no then, right?
Me and Rick made a collaboration.
Yeah, the same guy who picked Chicago and Loverboy picked The Cure.
But I had it, right?
He did own it. To his credit, it was on his hard drive.
There you go.
Scotty J, the angst years.
Seriously, I'm picturing you in mascara.
No.
Like one long purple eyelash wearing a lot of crushed velvet.
Continued the Mustang, too.
I used to be a huge Cure fan.
Hanging out with a girl named Ravenous.
I used to run around downtown Portland back in the 80s as a new waver, and this was was like top of the list.
A new waiver. You were a new waiver. Did you really just say that?
That's what they
You're engaging
them.
In the ultra violence?
Yes. Uh-huh.
This is one of the best pop songs ever written.
This whole album's really good.
Has Seamus sent you that the students choir, the boys and girls choir version of the song?
I think he sent it to me. I don't know if I've seen
it. It sounds dopey. It sounds like it would be cheesy, but it's not at all. It's this. I think they're Swedish. It's a student choir that does a lot of pop songs, and they do them sort of cathedral style as a choir, and it sounds like it would be a kooky, corny, dumb, ironic thing. It's not. It's beautiful, and they do this choir version of the song, and it's just stunning. What a great song this is, boy! And every time we play anything by The Cure on the show, I just think about this hot girl in high school. The Cure. It's creepy when you say it. I don't know why.
I still like to hear Scotty say balls.
Back then, she would have been hot as clothes.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
But The Cure is so great. And The Cure, they did one of the top five pop songs of the entire 1980s, which was Just Like Heaven, which is just like as good as music gets, Just Like Heaven. Think about the number of songs these guys have, the number of hits they have. And this was relatively late in their career. This is off the Wish album. And Robert Smith has aged well, unlike a lot of his contemporaries.
I have not seen him without makeup before, so I don't even know what he looks like.
You see him in concert, he wears a hockey jersey like half the time. All right, here's Tim Riley's Weekend on the Top 5 Weekend Songs.
At long last, at number one,
really?
Barry Manilow, Weekend in New England.
How appropriate is that?
Did Rick pick this one,
Here
too?
On the stage, no. Everyone can agree to AM 97.
Sunny, 91.
You went right over the post.
I know I did. I'm out of practice, Scotty.
Yes, Scotty, because you're all about hitting the post.
Someday, Rick.
Did you really put this above The Cure?
I did, actually, because it's a good song to just kind of go out on, you know? Puts happy weekend thoughts in your mind.
I don't even know this song.
Really? This is a great song. I do love Barry Manilow.
Have you never heard of the Barry Manilow before?
Oh, let's wait for the hook.
Okay, see all three of you singing in a row. It's freaking me out.
Here's another guy we tried to get on the show.
Wait, hold on for it. And when will I hold you again? This is a great song. It really is. Well done, Scotty.
Thank you very much. Scotty J out.
Go away. Yes, Tim.
Took me away.
We ought to do an album of Tim Riley sings the hits. Just sort of with like a little jazzy saxophone in the background, a lot of snapping.
The return of old white hair.
God damn, I love Barry Manilow.
Well, you're a good American.
I am. Damn right. Let me just say this.
Him and a beagle named Bagel.
And then we have to break. We'll come back and talk about the Simpsons movie. It's all fine to laugh at Barry Manilow. It's all fine to think that he's corny and he's cheesy and, you know, whatever. Until someday when you have a really horrible breakup. And I swear to God, if you have a really bad breakup and somebody's dumped you or you're just whatever, you're sitting there and this comes up, like Mandy or something comes up, you will sit and just bawl your goddamned eyes out.
Mandy was my go-to breakup song.
Oh, I've done
it. Yeah,
yeah. I Can't Smile Without You. Looks Like We Made It. Ready to Take a Chance Again. Just sitting there, I thought we made it. Sitting there just crying like a girl.
Well,
now, keep in mind that these were played on Top, which was called back then Top 40 Radio.
Yeah.
It was impossible for Barry Manilow not to have a hit every time he put something out.
No, he's another guy. You don't realize how many hits Barry Manilow had. And to think that he was played on Top 40, which is now, of course, the province of Justin Timberlake and company. But, I mean, these were Top 40 singles. Oh, big, big finish here. Takes it out there a step. All right. Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen, greatest newsman in the history of the world. Oh, Tim Riley, when will I see you again?
Bright and early Monday morning at 11 o'clock. Right
4 o'clock. Oh,
but you'll hear him at 4.
I haven't left him yet.
Sure. All right, whatever. Back after this. Don't go anywhere.
Again.
the saddest part of the broadcast, and the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. Let's see. Don't forget, like us next with Flash Friday. Donna Mike at 7. Tomorrow, Car and Driver Radio 6 to 9 and Miles Around with Dennis Pitzenbarger. Aaron Geek in the City Duran is here.
Hello, sir.
Ye have seen the Simpsons film.
Yes.
What's up?
It is a really good season 10 episode. How's that?
Fantastic. Wonderful.
Yeah, there's nothing to it. I mean, it looks pretty because they're not using Korean slave animators this time.
Ah,
you know,
animator Han. We are slaves.
You know. But
that's Aaron who did that, by the way.
That's from Clerks.
No, what am I...
What?
No, I'm doing the animator Han thing from the Clerks animated series.
That's
contract.
What I was doing.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, we're...
Your show never air! All right.
I don't think I want to hear the Simpsons.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's not very good. I mean, it's a 78-minute episode. The animation's really good. The whole premise is that Springfield is one big pile, environmental, pile. So the EPA decides to just put a dome over Springfield, and wackiness ensues.
So does Maggie really say sequel?
Yes.
Oh, God, I was hoping that was a joke.
What does it do with seeing Bart's weenus?
No, you know what? You don't really see it.
What is the point? Why would they do that? It's just tacky.
It's dumb. It's more done kind of like the Austin Powers, how they would hide his junk.
Right.
And, I mean, that's kind of how it's done.
I mean, it seems beneath The Simpsons. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just seems like that's something I would expect from the Family Guy.
Right, yeah. No, the only reason why this is PG-13 is that Homer flips somebody off.
Oh, does somebody square? Please tell me nobody squares.
No more than what they do on the show.
Okay, because that's not that I'm offended by it, but it's like that just seems tacky.
Like how the X-Files movies got to drop S-bombs. That was pretty much it. But
yeah.
At least the X-Files movie was an extension of the show.
It's not a cartoon, yeah. So, I mean, yeah.
And Otto finally gets the toke up. I mean, that's kind of it. You get to see him light up.
Yeah. Are Kodos and Kang in it?
Everyone is in it.
Okay, that's
one thing I got to give a shout out to the writers.
And Krusty and all the...
Everyone, even if it's only for half a second, every single person that has ever showed up on the episodes is there.
All right, that's cool. All right.
Although that one writer I met, he shouldn't be too ashamed, but he shouldn't be too proud of it.
Is that the guy? I want my name taken over!
He was the guy, yeah, he was finding out the Writers Guild had their version of Alan Smithy.
Yeah.
Because he just had wanted nothing to do with it.
All right.
So check it out at the Broadway Theater where your tickets are only $6, I think.
Oh, yeah, they're selling them in advance, so I biked by
No, them. I think the Broadway is just $6, period. For some reason, they're just cheaper.
Yeah.
Or wait till it hits.
They were doing the Harry Potter thing, too, and they were talking about cheaper and in advance.
Yeah. Or, you know what, just wait till it hits one of the brew pubs, and if you're drunk, it'll be hilarious.
Fantastic.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
What's up at geekinthecity.com/filmpeopleradio?
Film Fever Radio, we've got a new show coming up tonight, plus we've got a huge revamp going over during the weeks. We've got some surprise on Film Fever Radio. Geekinthecity.com, I'm going to have weekend-long coverage of Comic-Con. One of my writers is at Comic-Con right now. Snapping photo. That's where that photo came from of Indian Marion.
Oh, wait, how badass is that?
That I scoped Ain't It Cool News by 5 minutes. So I was all proud.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, yes, beat him.
How cool is that? I mean, she looks good.
She looks hot.
Yeah, she really does.
Now, have you heard how that all happened?
No.
They just started. They played the music, and people went insane. And Harrison Ford and Spielberg come walking on screen, and they're talking. And then they bring in Shia LaBeouf, and he's like, I don't know what I'm doing here. And then Spielberg says, wait a minute, something's missing. I'll be right back. And he walks off camera and brings in this woman. He says, here, we want to bring somebody back to the Indy family.
Oh!
And Marion and the actress sits down and she says, someday I knew you'd come walking back through my door.
Oh,
and the crowd exploded.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to cry.
That just gave me goosebumps.
Yeah. Oh, wonderful. Excellent. Check out filmfeverradio.com, geekinthecity.com.
Are you going to be...
And I think in five minutes I'll be on the Marconi show.
Aaron Geek in the City Duran will be guesting on the Marconi show.
And Court and Fatboy tonight at 7.
And Court and Fatboy.
I'm never leaving CBS tonight, so it would seem.
Traitor. All right. Rick,
as soon as one of you pays me. My loyalty has a dollar sign.
Today and every day by blah, 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 and watch out for snakes. And I'm trying to queue up a...
Hit Ollie on Saving Grace, which is going to premiere Monday.
Oh, I'm choking.
Yeah.
Insert a clever ending here. Have a good weekend.
No!